much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Ooh, you bet I got something to say. You check it out. Ooh, the most beautiful body in professional wrestling. And I got something to talk about.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
One, two, three.
Bad boy!
Four, five, six.
B.I.G. Ah!
Q-Bean. Oh, you're so annoying. Did you know? No, we didn't know. And guess what? We don't give a
I know you mean well, but that really hurts my feelings.
It doesn't matter because it's all garbage.
I'm eventually trying to one day tell the truth. I don't know if I'm ever going to get there, but I'm slowly letting pieces of myself out there, and then maybe by the time I'm 85, I'll look back and say, all right, that about summed it up.
It frightens me when you act all smart like that.
And now.
I really only listen to, like, German death reggae and Halloween sound effects records from the 1950s. And Bette Midler, obviously.
Our feature presentation.
Same.
Obviously.
Obviously. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. Good morning, everybody. It is a brand new Kevin and Bean show. It is Thursday, the... I want to say 28th, 29th.
You would want to say...
No. I would want to say 28th.
Yes, you would.
It's the 28th of April.
Well done.
Thank you.
Good start. Look how long we've been on the air. We haven't made a single mistake
How
yet.
About that?
And that's with Beer Mug on the show.
Imagine what happens next week when he's not, right?
Is he off next week?
Oh,
because of the meeting he has tomorrow?
Mm-hmm.
After,
oh.
Yeah, I forgot. I don't think... He might not know about that, by the way.
But
the different direction that we're going.
Well, we'll edit that before we get on the air.
Good.
When do we start, by the way?
What's... I think we're live.
What? Oh, we're on now.
Uh-huh.
Oh,
sure.
My bad.
So, Chip, a few words before we get started. Anything you need to say we feel better about?
This is the part of the show where Bean smack talks people whose
teams
lost.
I'm not smack talking at all. I just know that Chip has got she has Ducks feelings, and I thought it might be appropriate time for her to say goodbye for the season.
Oh, Chip.
We're all being it's okay. Game eight is our time to. We have the Predators right where we want them.
Okay.
Okay.
You know?
Good.
Everyone knows it's the best of 15 series.
Right.
Right.
So game eight.
Yeah.
Right.
Game eight is told.
Yeah. It's best of 15.
Yeah. Exactly. Okay, so I mean,
go with that. Good.
Oh, yeah. What was it like? You were there. I saw your great pictures from the Honda Center. What was it like? Was there a time at which you were optimistic and feeling good about things, or were you? Did you feel like you were kind of behind the eight ball all night?
Well, but the Predators scored what, 2 goals in the first period?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that didn't feel
early.
Great.
Yeah.
So I will say that I've never heard the Honda Center louder.
Yeah, like, isn't that great?
Yeah, the fans were awesome.
Yeah.
I don't think the Ducks knew it's an elimination game.
Oh, no.
No. Nobody told them.
I feel like
them,
someone should have told
someone
them.
I don't think they got the memo.
Mm.
I feel like that happens almost every Game 7 for them.
Only 4 in a row.
Oh, okay.
That's
it's not ideal.
No.
Game 7 is not their sweet spot.
Here's the thing. It's okay. Football is in 133 days.
Here's the thing, Chip.
I'm sorry, what? Your football team is?
The Dolphins.
Okay.
Let her be okay.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Second,
my
Kevin.
Bad.
Here's the thing, Chip.
I'm coping.
All the cool kids are out of the postseason.
Yeah, it's everyone knows. Just don't overachieve. You take a break. It's fine.
It's where you want to be. With the Kings,
you be
with
like the Blackhawks,
Blackhawks
and the Kings.
With the Bruins. Yeah. Like, Bruins
Flyers,
didn't even
all
make
of us.
It.
Yeah. We're good. We're fine.
Okay. All right. Losers,
everybody's
fine.
Everybody has come to grips. Yeah. Everybody's good. Well, sorry about that, Chip. I know you were excited.
Sorry.
Such a
Dave's
little
Clappers lost again last night, too, so it's looking pretty grim for them.
Yeah, that's not good.
No.
So tough times.
Yeah.
Here's a story to get us started, and I have a personal connection to this story because last year, or the year, I guess it was 2 years ago, remember I went to Alabama on vacation.
Sure. How can we forget that one?
It was fantastic. I had a wonderful, wonderful time. It's a beautiful state. But when I got to my destination of Birmingham, Alabama, and I went up to the rental car desk, and I said, hi, I'm here to pick up my car. And they said, you have no reservation, sir. I said, what? So I
could I hear that conversation again, please?
So I went ahead and rented another car, and then I checked in with my travel agent, and she looked it up on the reservation, and she said, oh, your reservation was for Birmingham, England. I see what I did here.
Oh, so man. So you went to England?
No, I didn't go to England. But in the drop-down menu, when she made my reservation, she clicked on Birmingham and didn't realize that it was Birmingham, UK, not Birmingham, USA. So I had a reservation in England.
Right.
Didn't have one in Birmingham, Alabama, where I was.
I hope you got charged for it.
So
that would make
I don't
the story much more sweet.
Specifically, what happened there? But I was lucky that it was just a rental car, and I was able to find another car in Birmingham, Alabama. Not so lucky if you accidentally book to the wrong city when you're flying, which has happened increasingly often. In fact, there's a whole bunch of stories in the news right now, including this one that also involves the same problem with two cities named Birmingham. Here's Raquella Heakin, 26 years old. She lives in Britain near Birmingham, UK. She saved for 2 years to get together the money for a surprise 30th birthday present for her boyfriend, Ben. They were going to fly from Birmingham, UK to Dallas and then switch planes and head on to Las Vegas for his 30th birthday party. Great trip, right?
All right, yes. Sure.
But when she shows up at the airport, she finds the check-in desks were closed already, and the staff explained, oh, I see what happened with your ticket here. You bought a ticket from Birmingham, Alabama. So
she's in
England, and her ticket that she's holding is from Birmingham, Alabama to Dallas, Texas. So she can do nothing about it. By the way, her error did not get reimbursed from the airline, just had to eat it. She said the error occurred after doing a lot of clicking on the booking site lastminute.com, and she just didn't see the difference.
Oh, that sucks so much.
It does. So they ended up buying
for 2 years.
2 years, yeah. So they ended up taking a much quicker trip to Amsterdam. They just bought some tickets that night from the airport and went to Amsterdam.
That's a good save.
Yeah, they
win. It was fine. But you know what? They were all looking forward to going to Las Vegas.
Right.
Sure.
I mean, you can see how a mistake like that could happen, right?
Sure.
Wouldn't you at some point think, wow, this is so cheap. I'm going from England to Vegas.
And costing me $270.
Yeah, at some point, wouldn't you think I'm doing something wrong?
If you're on, like they were, lastminute.com, maybe you think this is why I'm on a website like this is because of the deals.
Maybe.
You know what I mean? Here's a guy who this happened a couple of months ago. This is a man from Plymouth, England, who booked a British Airways flight to Granada, Spain. On board the plane was informed that she was on her way to Granada in the Caribbean. Now, this doesn't even involve airport codes. This is just two cities with one's Granada with an A, one's Granada with an E. And she didn't realize the difference and found herself on a plane to the Caribbean when she was trying to go to Spain.
Now, she had to have some warning signs, right?
She
had to have some warning signs. They had to say, hey, the flight for the Caribbean is now boarding, or when they got on.
They just said Grenada.
Please.
They just said Grenada on the plane.
No, that's user error there.
Yeah.
And at the airport, by the way, it didn't say Grenada, the one in the Caribbean.
It should have.
On the gate, it just said Grenada. All so right. She thought there's the same thing.
That's awesome.
Anyway, there's a whole bunch of stories like that. And I guess you could see how that happens because there are lots of places that sound similar. But I don't know what the answer is except just to check, double check, and triple check, I guess, right?
Well, you do not want to find out on the plane.
No.
That sucks. Although you're going to the Caribbean.
Yeah, it's not the worst thing in the world.
It's not terrible.
Going to the Caribbean, but it depends on what kind of plans you have
while
you're going to Spain, you know?
Sure,
there's that. What you packed.
Right.
And what you packed.
Oh,
right, exactly.
What a bummer. Show up to the Caribbean with, like, turtlenecks. Ugh.
Right? Like you
right?
do?
Like someone everyone would pack turtlenecks for Spain?
For any place?
You get me?
Let's talk about today's Kevin and B Show, shall we?
We also call him Kevin the Asshole because when have you not met a Kevin that wasn't an asshole?
It's a pretty good point.
Oh.
That's pretty true. You see Kevin pretty much anywhere. My daughter now watches The Office and sends me clips of Kevin all the time.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She finds that funny. From the movie Green Room, we have Anton Yelchin on today's Kevin and Bean Show. Very excited
great
about
things
that.
About that film.
Yeah, it looks great. Captain America, Civil War. We have your tickets for that. We have Jim Rohn talking sports. We have Beer Mug, Man of a Thousand Accents. And we have Blink-182, a little band you may have heard of, coming in just at the top of the hour at 7 o'clock. We're going to talk all about their new music. We'll play it for you. We will talk about their tour and everything else that's going on with those boys. That's coming up this morning. We'll take a break. We will come back with the Showbiz Beat next.
Not my fault.
Maybe it is.
Where's your producer, Ralph?
Less than
David King of Mexico.
I don't know, but I was running desperately late, and I beat him in.
Now... But you talked to him or you texted him?
I'm in the Uber because I didn't drive in this morning. So I'm in the Uber and the Uber's running late. And I texted him quickly. I said, oh, you know, I'm running late. What time is the show going to be? And he got back, well, 5:03. So I figured that was 53.
Right.
After the hour. And so I said, okay, print out the show prep sheet that we use sometimes so I can get there. And I don't hear anything back. So I run in. So I'm assuming that's what it's done.
Of course.
I beat him here.
So he wasn't here when he was
here.
But when you said print out the paperwork, what he didn't think, hey, I should tell Ralph that I'm not here?
No. And everybody was surprised.
Not my fault.
I feel like that is Dave's fault.
This is a good start. Good
I feel like maybe a heads up.
But we can shake this off.
Sure.
There are a lot of people whose alarm goes off at like 6 o'clock. They don't hear any of this. As far as they know, we hit the ground running.
Exactly.
We're strong. We're powerful. We're dynamic.
Take
we're
it
exciting.
Easy. We're never that.
We're entertaining. We're all those
ready.
Things.
We took the Viagra. We're good to go.
Right. Look, this show is so good for people who don't hear it.
Right.
That's what I'm saying.
It's true. Right? What they imagine it to be is spectacular.
Exactly.
Yeah. Sometimes.
Well, I just handed me some sheets of paper, so I think I have some show business.
All right.
Now.
Just read whatever's on the paper.
Save the day.
We'll just wing it.
Hey, here's the thing I didn't know. You know those commercials for Travelocity or Expedia or whatever it is where Jordan Peele and Chelsea Peretti from Brooklyn Nine-Nine are talking about their wedding and stuff?
Yeah, I just saw that one yesterday.
Oh, how cute it is that they got those two people who probably don't even know each other and cast them together in those commercials.
That's what I thought.
That's awesome.
That's what I thought.
Really?
I had no idea they even were friends, let alone dating.
Are they dating like 3 years
yes,
or something?
They've been together
they?
Forever. They're
I had
engaged.
No idea.
All right, stop it. What? Sorry. Us Weekly. I don't know people's dating life.
Their engagement made news last year, too, I think.
I did not catch it, oddly enough.
And I am Team K-Train.
And you don't want to be Team K-Train.
I don't, but I am. I can't help it. Anyway, the news broke that they're husband and wife.
Intercourse?
Right.
They eloped a bit ago, and their only witness was their dog, who was dressed in a Hawaiian shirt.
All right. I'm happy for them. That seems like a good couple.
I was too.
Funny couple,
right? When I saw them cast in that commercial, I said, oh, I wish that was a real couple.
Right.
Turns out that it was a real couple.
And you're saying being for 3 years?
I think so. Yeah. Does that sound about right, Allie? A long time.
Yeah, nobody knew until they showed up on a red carpet together, and people were like, what? And then they're like, yeah, we've been dating for a while.
Apparently, okay. Jordan popped the question last year, so they've been engaged for about a year.
Mm-hmm. And they got that talking cat, right?
You're talking about Keanu? Is that a Keanu
that's
joke?
It. That's it, yeah.
And Keanu doesn't talk.
Oh, I thought he did.
No.
No, it's not animated, right?
I thought the talk. Well, Keanu Reeves is the voice of the cat. I just assumed he talks.
What are you talking about?
Apparently there's some fantasy sequence or some sort of dream sequence or something where Keanu Reeves is the voice of the cat.
Oh, I see. This is Bean reading about a movie.
And then extrapolating it out into... It's a three-part trilogy where Keanu Reeves plays an animated cat who's a robot.
Wrong. Well, I haven't seen it. It's not out
No
yet,
one has, but we all know... But I know the truth.
Right, but was I wrong? Isn't Keanu the voice of the cat?
Yeah, but it's not a talking cat. It's not like Toonses. It doesn't drive or anything. It's just a cat.
Okay. So Keanu is the voice of the cat, but it's not a talking cat. Those two statements are not an option.
Maybe there's some type of weird dream sequence,
right.
But for the most of the movie, no, it's not a talking cat.
Right, but it does
it's a gangster cat.
That's all I was referencing.
Dave, all right, look, Dave had the right idea.
Some people's alarm goes off at 6 a.m.
6
we're
o'clock
still good.
Yeah, we're still
turns
okay.
around.
So
yes.
We're going to be fine.
Yeah. I can
thumbs up.
I can just burn the next 2 minutes.
Right this ship, Ralph.
Come on.
Look, all we're doing right now is just bailing out the water in the boat. That's all we're doing. Then it's going to be smooth sailing.
It is on. It is on.
What is on?
Between Rebecca Romijn and Kendall Jenner.
Oh, here we go. It's on. Race war!
Yeah.
Race war's
sure
on, everybody!
Sure
it's going down!
Not sure if
it's
different
going
races.
Down! Race war! Come on!
Not sure
race
if
war!
Different races.
White folks.
No.
Rebecca Romijn, in an interview with Fashionista.com. You read Fashionista.com, don't you, Kev?
Get it delivered at home.
It's a website. You don't need to have it delivered, Kevin. You just
on my computer at home.
Someone comes and delivers it to your computer at home?
Yep.
90 seconds till this show gets through.
People's alarm hasn't gone off yet. We're good.
She called out reality TV star/models and the fashion industry that supports them.
Oh, no, she didn't.
Yeah. When asked what her thoughts were on models who've become famous for their social media presence, she said they are, wait for it, not true supermodels. And that she's disappointed that fashion magazines have been supporting this trend of social media stars to set our style standards. When it should be hot girls like Rebecca Romijn who sets our fashion standards.
Okay. She's pretty hot.
Fight! fight, 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 fight.
You don't care who wins. You just want to see a fight.
Can only be settled, as all debates must be, in the pudding pit.
Now, who would your money
it's time
be
to
on?
Get a wrestling? Get a wrestling.
If those two fought, though, Rebecca is like 25 years older than Kendall, right?
Yeah, but
yeah, that's right. She's got the experience. She's got the moves.
I think I'm putting my money on her.
Totally
wins.
Take her.
She's, yeah,
she's bigger
yeah.
and stronger.
She's Mystique. She could turn into someone
she's
else.
A Mystique.
She could turn into
Mystique.
Like Kris Jenner and fool her for a minute. Because why am I fighting my mom? Wrong. Boom. I'm Mystique, bitch.
That's how you see it going.
Yeah, she would throw her off with her shape-shifting abilities.
15 seconds till we start, everybody. 15
All right.
seconds.
All right, let me get this out of the way then. Today's celebrity birthdays. Jessica Alba's 35 years old today. Penelope Cruz, 42. Harry Shum Jr., remember him from Glee?
Sure.
It's like Dave's best friend or something.
Yeah.
They hang out together.
Was he in one of the step-ups, too, or something?
Yeah, well, that's how Dave knows him.
Sure, okay.
Dave's in with those dance crews, you know.
Now he's in Shadowhunters.
I just got in. I'm going to yell.
I forgot about voice modulation.
You have a microphone, Dave. You don't have to yell.
I think he's drunk.
Is he drunk? Like it.
Jay Leno's 66 years old today. Rapper Too Short is 50. And oddly, Just Short Enough is 49.
What?
Yeah.
That's weird.
Ann Margaret. Are you familiar with Ann Margaret, Kevin?
Sure.
Superstar Ann Margaret.
Sure.
She is.
She's a movie star from way back.
Wow.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes. Good.
Very impressive.
Yeah. Good. She was in the original Ghostbusters?
Nope. Very close, though. She was in movies with Elvis Presley, for example. Viva Las Vegas. Does that ring a bell?
Elvis movies.
Bye Bye Birdie. No. Nothing. Nothing's ringing a bell.
No.
Tommy. Yeah.
No.
Carnal Knowledge.
No.
She's 75 years old today. Oh, look. I'm happy you just knew that she was a woman.
Right?
Oh, I think that's a step in the right direction. Jenna Ushkowitz, also from Glee, is 30 years old today. Violent J from Insane Clown Posse is 44. And Jorge Garcia from Lost. You remember Hurley?
He's the best.
43 years old today. Remember calling him Jose when he was in?
Yep.
Yep.
Right to his face.
Yep.
Several times, if I remember correctly.
You did indeed.
Yeah.
Was our guest Jose Garcia?
Yep.
Yep.
That happened
a
lot.
His name's Jorge.
Uh-huh.
But, you know what? It's after 6 o'clock, the brand new show, people. Please enjoy. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
1 hour from right now, our friends in Blink 182 stop by the Kevin and Bean Show. You can listen to it here on the radio or streaming, if that's what you do. Or you can watch it on Facebook Live. We're also going to be presenting the interview for you that way. So a lot of ways to check in with Blink today. Very exciting. I love that new song, by the way.
Me too.
What about you guys?
Love it.
Love.
Listen to that a bunch yesterday. Just, it feels like the first song. And there have been a lot of good songs out lately, but the first song you go, yep, that's the summer jam right there.
Agreed.
That's the one we're going to be hearing a lot all year long. So very cool. So Blink is on its way right now, though. Time for the Kevin and Bean Afro line at 323-520-AFRO. That's our voicemail 24 hours a day. You just think of us and the message you want to leave and do it.
Check this out.
Hey, Kevin and Bean and Allie. This is Nikki. I am calling to wish my husband, Spoo, a happy birthday. He and I are both in the Army, and we are stationed in Germany. I have never lived in L.A., but I now have listened to the Kevin and Bean Morning Show more than any other morning show in my life. My husband grew up in L.A., and he listens to you guys every day. He downloads the podcast and listens every day. So I thought I would call and see if there's any way to wish him a happy birthday so he hears it after he downloads the podcast. Thanks a lot. Bye.
Sorry, I can't think of a way.
I feel like maybe we could help her, though.
I'm not sure the technology exists, though. How would we get her voice into her husband's ears?
You're right.
I don't
know. Yeah, you're
right. We'll talk to engineering about it. I thank you for calling. It's a great idea. I don't know if we can pull it off, but we will ask for it.
And thank you for your service, both of you.
Yes, no kidding. This is a call of glee about the Clippers.
Calling it right now. Damn, Clippers. Back at it again with the choke show.
I feel bad. I feel bad for the Clippers.
Right,
I really do. They're cursed.
They might be.
They're cursed because of their number one fan.
Can I just say, it gives me the utmost joy to hear Dave sad and disappointed and kind of defeated.
By the way, everybody has somebody on the show that they want to see sad.
Yeah.
It's a weird phenomenon. This guy is just shopping at Costco when he runs into the security guard there.
Oh my gosh, I'm at Costco in Huntington Beach, and there's a Doto sighting. He's walking around in his security guard, and I'm trying to follow him, and I can't find him. Where'd he go? Oh, my gosh. It's Toto! Toto!
Wow, a Toto in the wild sighting. That is it. That is it.
I was hoping that that call would end with his the sound of a taser.
Oh.
He's a security guard. Toto
just
crazy.
Takes him down.
This guy has a lot of glee over Bean's failure.
Bean, I was just wondering if you had any more stock tips. Twitter just announced their earnings. They only lost $79 million last quarter. That's pretty good, because last year they lost $162 million. How you doing on that stock? Oh, yeah, it's down 13% after-hours trading. You got any more tips for us? Asshole.
Yeah, people have very much been enjoying watching the misfortunes of Twitter over the past few years. I bought at 45, I think. 45.10 or 45.40, something like that.
Right.
Yesterday, Kevin, it closed below 15.
Yes, sell!
So it's
is
lost.
That how it
I don't think that's how
sell
it works.
Sell now? What?
No, I think it's the opposite.
Sell now!
Yeah. No.
It's lost over two-thirds of its value. Yet, curiously, more popular than ever before, added another 5 million users in the first quarter of this year. So people like the service. They just can't, they haven't figured out a way to make money off of it yet.
Once Bean saw a model on a jet plane on his way to California. She was just trying to go home, but what she didn't know is Bean was going to steal a photo.
He called back.
Traveling all alone, just minding her own business. Little did she know, Bean was on Google Image, but he can't seem to find her. He knows he's seen the spread, so surreptitiously, a photograph her rear end.
Well done, sir.
Do you guys remember, and this is all in an attempt to make this next joke work.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember this?
Wild Women, the Wild Women, the Rippin' and the Tearin'.
Remember that?
Yeah.
Sure.
That like 75-year-old from Florida that was all too tan and had that little bikini bottom on. And
yeah, like
just,
hedonism or something, right?
So that's right. This guy is using, I believe, that to make a Kelly Ripa joke.
Hey, you guys have been talking lately about how Kelly Ripa's co-host has left to go to Good Morning America. I found out recently that the lead actor from Kingsman, Taron Egerton, actually is thinking of stepping into her co-host role when he's done filming the second Kingsman movie. They're also going to be changing the name of the show to The Ripa and the Taron. The Ripa and the Taron. Out.
Then he says out as if he just
dropped the mic.
Nailed it. Oh. We sent Beer Mug to Shake Shack when it opened. And he ate a lot of hot dogs, and he was moaning a lot, and it was pretty great. He was eating hot dogs, wasn't he?
Oh, Shake Shack's known for their burgers.
He was eating burgers.
Yeah, okay.
And there was a lot of moaning, that's all I know. So, and then Allie has...
Smell it.
She has that, so we put that in a remix, so that the Beer Mug eating the hamburger, he was moaning, and then we added Allie to it. And this guy would like to add a third element to that remix.
Allie. I'll smell it. Yum, yum. Give me some of that.
Oh, sir,
so
no.
So I think the Beer Mug Alley remix should be ended with a Bean sneeze.
How genius is that?
That's pretty smart.
So this is Beer Mug at Shake Shack and Alley moaning, and then we're adding now the Bean sneeze.
Ladies and gentlemen, just as good as I remembered it.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
oh God.
Oh,
oh. No words. I'm so glad I'm starting my diet tomorrow.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm so good.
Oh, come on.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Smell it. Oh, yeah. Oh, it was horrible.
No. Come on. It adds a little something, doesn't it? That's pretty sweet. 3-2-3.
Like the worst threesome ever.
3-2-3-5-2-0-A-F-R-O, 24 hours a day. 106.7 K-Rock is... KROQ, this is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 6:23.
Hey. Jim Rome on sports later on today. Also, Anton Yelchin is going to be joining us. He's Chekhov.
He is indeed.
Yeah, and he's one of the stars of the new film Green Room that looks so good with Patrick Stewart. We'll talk to him about that. And tonight is the final ever Love Line on K-Rock.
Oh, finally, right? Who's with me?
No,
thank God we got rid of that crap.
No, I'm very sad at all.
Oh, I'm just, super sad.
Oh, I got bumps
line,
in my penis. Oh, it might be papulli. Whatever.
Might be what?
Papulli.
Okay.
All right. Adam Carolla, who, of course, co-hosted the program with Dr. Drew for many, many years, is going to be co-hosting again tonight as they say goodbye, and we'll talk to the Ace Man coming up just after 9. That's all on the way, plus Blink 182 will be here in studio next hour, too.
Ralph, why is Beer Mug in the studio with us?
Because he's gifted.
I thought that we had removed him from this space.
He is special.
He's special.
Thank you. Thank you, guys.
He has a gift.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
We discovered some weeks ago that when Johnny was down at Shake Shack, he had a Chicago dog, what they call the Chicago dog. And as he was eating the Chicago dog, he broke into this uncannily accurate Chicago accent.
And by uncannily accurate, what do you mean?
You thought you were watching the Cubbies from the bleachers. That's what I mean.
And that's where Johnny Chicago was born.
That's where Johnny Chicago was born. So we realized that Beer Mug has, he's like a savant. You know, he's barely functional in everyday life, but he has an uncanny knack for replicating perfectly regional accents.
That's great news.
And that's so how do we not use that to our advantage?
That has to be very impressive for you, Ralph, a guy who has, you know, pretty much made his bones with your voice work over the years and your accents and impressions, everything like that. You got to look at him and go, wow.
I am humbled and dwarfed by the power that is Beer Mug, man of a thousand accents.
You could probably learn from him.
And I do every day. I randomly ask him, hey, Mugs, do this now. I sit back and just sit at the feet of the master.
It's Beer Mug, man of a thousand accents.
Beer Mug, man of a thousand. Since man, Spanish to an Irish man, come on, step up and represent Beer Mug, man of a thousand accents.
Ow! Like it.
Now, I'd like to preface this with, I'm a little nasally today, so I don't know how much my accents are going to cut through.
Oh, your instrument is...
My instrument's a little...
Top form?
Yes, and I don't know if everybody's going to get the right...
Take it easy. Okay. I think your talent will shine right through that sickness.
We have tried this before. What we do is we take the wheel-o and we load it up with regional accents, and then we just spin the wheel, and whatever it lands, Johnny doesn't know what's coming, Beer Mug will just hit you with a perfect spot-on accent from that area of the
fantastic
world.
Fantastic. This is something I absolutely cannot do, so I really am looking forward to this.
No one can do it, not like Beer Mug. Shall we begin?
Please.
Let's see where we land. All right. Ah, Texas. A Texas accent.
Texas accent. Ooh, yeah. That's a tough one.
Yeah. All right, here we go.
Howdy, partner. Would you like to come over to the oil fields with me and catch a steer? Maybe we can go to the rodeo. How's that sound, partner?
Steer just hanging out in
oil
fields?
Why are you a steer in your oil field?
I like to consolidate my.
Yep. It's
uncanny.
I was in Dallas there for a bit.
Wow. This is crazy
good.
Oh, an East Indian accent.
Oh, good. What could go wrong here?
So imagine if you'll close your eyes.
Okay.
And imagine we're in New Delhi for a moment.
Okay. All right. Here we go.
Hello, my friend. How are you? Would you like to go to 7-Eleven with me? Is that not racist? I think that is. And I'm done.
Beer Mug, man of a thousand accents.
Well, he didn't have a lot to say in that accent, but what he said was perfect.
Sure did. Oh, Cockney, a Cockney accent from the East End of London. A Cockney accent.
Oi! Let's get drunk and fight, shall we?
Beer Mug.
All right. Why did you just yell it?
These Cockney guys are loud.
Watch his eyes. As soon as Ross says it, watch his eyes. He's transformed.
I think he may have burned through his material for this accent as well with that last one, but how about an Irish accent? Landed on Irish.
Okay.
Ooh, Ireland, okay.
I'm from Ireland, and I like potatoes and shamrocks and Lucky Charms.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Oh, this one should be fascinating because it's near and dear to my heart. The Philadelphia accent.
Oh, wow. Now, this is with the Philadelphian in the room.
Yeah.
Now, be careful here, Mugs, because Ralph is going to be able to tell.
Tread lightly.
Wow. Perfect.
Okay. Here we go.
How about we go down to the Flyers game, and that's.
That's my
dear mug, man of a thousand accents.
Wow, it's like I was home. It's like I was home.
So much pressure.
Like I clicked my ruby slippers and boom, I was there. I was right there in the Wells Fargo Center.
Oh, man, that was bad.
No, perfect.
Nailed
it. Awesome.
You got half a sentence out of that one, man.
Yeah.
That was pretty sweet.
Russian. A Russian.
Russian.
Accent.
Okay.
I like to play hockey, yes? I like to drink vodka.
Let's keep going on this one.
Back in Mother Russia, me and Babushka would dance the night away.
Go on.
And we'd make our vodka from potatoes, yeah? What? Now I am Swedish.
Beer mug, man of a thousand accents. Beer mug, man of a thousand accents. Beer mug, man of a thousand accents.
So bananas, right?
The bananas are dying, people.
Who's with me? It's bananas.
Right?
Sad.
I don't know anything about anything, and never has that been made more clear than reading this article about the crisis that the banana population is in. Do bananas have populations? Is that how they're referred to?
I don't know. I think they go by grips. It's a grip of bananas.
The most popular fruit in the world, and it is in danger of we're in danger of losing the most popular banana that we eat here in America, apparently something called the Cavendish. Apparently there's some sort of crisis in the banana world, and it's getting so serious that it's now bubbling up to mainstream news. Listen to this report about what's about to happen to our favorite fruit.
Bananas are under attack. A disease spreading across the globe is eating away at the popular produce. It could affect banana prices or even their taste in the future. In fact, the industry is so worried that they decided to relocate a big event coming up this week, the International Banana Congress, from Costa Rica to Miami, so that attendees won't carry the disease into the region with the dirt on their shoes. The disease the industry is running from is called Panama disease. It's already hit Asia, Australia, Africa, and the Middle East. It can stay in the soil for up to 40 years, and it's been known to wipe out entire varieties of the banana fruit.
Did she say there's an International Banana Congress?
Yeah.
She did. Yeah. She did say that, yes. Which I guess makes sense. I mean, it's a very popular food item.
It's
that
a $36 billion industry.
Yeah.
$36 billion.
I would think that they would want to keep tabs on how it's going. And we asked Producer Dave if there's anybody we could speak with on this. How critical is this disease? And how in danger are we of losing bananas here in America? So we have Dr. Clark Mullis on the line. He's the president of the International Banana Congress right now. Hello, doctor. How are you, sir?
I'm wonderful. How are you today, Kevin and Dean? It's a pleasure to talk to you, don't you know?
And to you as well. Look, we're not trying to make light of this, but we didn't know that there was a crisis in the banana industry until just this week.
Oh, it's a nightmare. It's worse than anybody could possibly imagine. What will we do without the Cavendish?
Right?
Right?
We also didn't know there was an International Banana Congress.
Oh, yes. We've been meeting for years and years, decades, don't you know? We get together once a year and just talk bananas.
Okay.
B-N-A-N-A-N-S.
Yep, that's bananas, right, yeah. So the Cavendish, and I didn't even know there were lots of different kinds of bananas, but that's the popular breed now. But apparently this disease or something close to it wiped out whatever the most popular kind of banana was back in the 1960s. So
that's
this is
right.
This is a problem that's been going on for a long time.
The banana we enjoy today has only really been popular since the 60s. Before that, there was a completely different banana. It looked like a foot. It was very strange. People didn't like it. But they love this one.
They love this one.
Now it's going to go because of the fusarium wilt.
Ooh, that sounds scary.
It's the worst thing you can imagine. It's like cancer for bananas. It's awful.
Wow.
And we're all very worried because we all love bananas, especially those of us in the International Banana Congress, as you can imagine.
Sure, yeah. Of course. Yeah, very much.
And we're just scared to death that we're going to lose the bananas, and then people will be out of work. A $36 billion industry down the drain.
What can we do to help?
I'm so glad you asked. Nothing.
What?
There's nothing we can do. The best thing we can do as plant pathologists, which is what I am, is try to develop a disease-resistant banana.
Okay.
But until then, we're going to need to go into emergency mode. It's Bananageddon.
Okay, so what do we do with Banana Geddon?
It's Banana Watch 2016. We need to save our bananas. We need to conserve our banana usage.
Okay, so you want us to eat fewer bananas?
Yes, we are passing resolutions in the Banana Congress to get people to take dishes and things they would ordinarily use bananas for.
Right.
And substitute other plants, other vegetables and fruits.
So, in other words, when I wake up in the morning and have my bowl of cereal and I chop up a delicious banana and put it on top of the cereal, you're saying don't do that going forward.
No, don't. Stop. Stop.
He's
please.
Not. Doctor, he's not doing it right now.
Oh,
he's just.
Yeah. For a minute there, I thought he was actually doing it.
Right.
Yes, we suggest sliced tomatoes.
In cereal?
On cereal?
Terrible on cereal.
Doesn't that sound good?
No.
Just eat it. We've got plenty of tomatoes.
All right.
And I suggest you, for dessert, have a nice slice of asparagus cream pie.
Oh, again, that's a bad mix, I think.
Yummy. Yummy delicious.
There's nothing yummy about that.
How about an avocado split next time you're at the ice cream parlor?
Again, it's just there's something about a banana that's perfect in those foods, not so much the others you're suggesting.
You won't say that after you have a cauliflower muffin.
Oh, man.
Oh, yum, yum.
I won't want to eat.
Not like farts, but it tastes great.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. It is 6:52.
Very exciting day for us.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin and Bean Show every time. Blink-182 stops by. New chapter. Mark, Travis, and Matt are going to be joining us in studio coming up just after the top of the hour, talking about the world tour, talking about the new album coming out on July 1st, and so much more Blink 182. And don't forget, you can actually watch it this morning, too. You can just dial up the K-Rock Facebook page, and we'll be streaming it live through Facebook Live. Pretty cool. All right, Ralph is here now. Time for another look at the Showbiz Beat on a Thursday morning. What's going on, Ralph?
Whatever. With everything you said.
Because
it's draft day.
It is draft day.
And F, mother loving L. It's all right. I have once my team's out of the hockey playoffs. All I have to think about is the draft.
See, you need to
and
add
OTAs.
Soccer. You need to add soccer.
Oh, I'd rather stick a knitting needle in my eye.
I'm just saying, it's something to watch
why
other
you,
than baseball.
Why don't you just go ahead and tell me to watch baseball while you're at it?
Because
why are
very
you talking
different.
About torturing me?
How dare you, sir.
I can also recommend baseball. It's a lot of fun.
Right? Nope. Eagles are on the clock. Number two.
Who are they going to pick?
Oh, it's either going to be Pete Wentz or Jonathan Goff. I can't wait. Looking forward to I don't know why they're picking
some odd choices.
Singers, but still.
I think you're close on those names, but they're not quite right.
Yeah. Let's see who doesn't. Wentz who doesn't have a pick? Who doesn't have a pick in the first round? I'm trying to
remember. Patriots,
Ralph. Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's right. Because cheaters never prosper, I guess. That's
I
what
heard
the league
that.
Is telling everyone. Anyway, it's very exciting. Let's talk about hands. Reaching out.
Okay.
Touching hands. Talk about the bridge.
Well, tell me if you tell me Neil Diamond's dead, I'm going to walk out.
Oh,
I wish say
I,
it.
I wish,
say
I,
it.
I wish I had that news.
Tell him.
Even if it's a lie?
Yes.
Neil Diamond has passed away.
Don't even tease.
Hey, you promised me.
Yeah. Liar. No, it's about friendship. It's about building bridges.
All right.
Kim Kardashian was seen having lunch with her brother Rob and his fiancée, Blac Chyna. Oh. And you know how they feel about each other.
I knew how they felt.
Right. But now they sit down at the same table and they break bread. They have lunch together. Well, Blac Chyna and Kim took selfies and Rob ate their food. But still, they were all on the same table. And I just think if they can get along, we can all get along.
Okay.
It's exciting. We live in exciting times. Speaking of the Kardashians and the Paris Hiltons and the Britney Spearses and of the world, you know this is a thing now, the vocal fry. Are you familiar with the something known as the vocal fry amongst vocal...
That's damage to your throat, right?
No. It's
The way you talk.
It's the way you talk. It's the way you end your sentences made popular by these
so
women.
Weird.
Oh, okay.
That. What?
Oh, my God. It's so dumb.
No way.
So attractive.
It's pretty attractive when you do
way.
It right.
Really? It's that sound at the end.
All right.
Bye-bye. Oh, my God. That.
Right.
That's awful.
That.
Right.
It's awful.
It is awful.
The fine folks at Louisiana State University discovered that the influence of the Kardashians, the Paris Hiltons, the Britney Spears, the Katy Perrys on young women... At that particular university, when they examined them, 86% of female students have worked that into their everyday vocal patterns.
Wow.
86% of young women now talk like that.
That's a really big number.
I know. Can't believe it.
It's science.
Are you okay?
I'm going to have to lock my daughter in a room.
Yeah, I think
I'm
so.
I'm
going
to put her in a panic room and just hermetically seal her in with, like, just tapes of Dame Judi Dench.
Yep. No internet,
or
no
something.
TV.
Wow. That seems extreme.
A weird punishment.
It would be. It's not a punishment.
It's a punishment.
I'm keeping away from this.
It's a punishment.
So I said, Dad, I need to borrow the car. And then I don't have to just say, get out of my house!
I wonder how that's going to affect those young women when
86%.
They try to get a job. Or is it just so common all that's going to be available to hire because almost everyone talks like that?
So we're going to live in a world where 86% of the people talk like that.
Pretty much. Already
I
do.
Don't want to live in that world.
I think we already do.
I don't want to live in that world.
But we already do.
Nope.
Okay.
I'm gonna get on a spacecraft and just shoot myself off into space, and I'll be back. I'll be back in about 100 years when it's all over.
All right. Good luck with that.
We'll totally miss you, Ralph.
And then the apes will have taken over.
We'll have a
God
president who talks like
you
that.
Damn you, hell! You did it! You blew it all up! It's a madhouse. Congratulations to Chelsea Peretti and Jordan Peele. They are officially man and wife. The Brooklyn Nine-Nine actress broke the news on Instagram last Tuesday, saying they eloped a bit ago. And the only witness was their dog, who was dressed in a Hawaiian shirt. Okay, you need some help. You need to.
Why you got to put a shirt on the dog?
I don't know. He doesn't want to wear a shirt. If it's a wedding, put a tux on him. If you're going to put clothes on him, don't make him stand out.
What if it was a beach wedding?
Oh, I saw that commercial. That's right. They're all laughing, but that horse.
The horse is not having a great time.
No, but they're laughing. this Megyn Kelly special over there on Fox News just got bigger. Donald Trump will not be the only guest on her May 17th special. Michael Douglas, the actor, will also be interviewed.
Why?
What?
Huh. I'm guessing they're trying to expand it to make it more sort of Barbara Walter-ish and less sort of right-wing politico stuff.
Let me tell you, I'm a really smart guy.
So he's not part of the discussion.
No, not with Donald Trump.
Political ISIS. Gotcha. I was confused.
That would be
by
the
that.
Best.
Michael, how do you feel about it?
What if it was his running mate?
Oh,
he announces
perfect.
It there.
I love that thing where he played Liberace. So I'm kidding, Michael Douglas to be my vice president.
That would be pretty awesome.
It would be awesome, wouldn't it?
Part of the beauty of me is that I'm very rich.
And she'll also be talking to O.J. Simpson defense attorney Robert Shapiro. I'm guessing to rehash that case in the wake of the success of the TV series.
Okay.
Turning into a show then.
Hope Travolta plays him. Yes, I am glad to be here. Or whatever weird voice he did.
He was
show.
Terrible in that.
Speaking of politics.
Oh, wow. Jinx.
How does this work now?
You know what happens now? I kill myself. Because you said the same time, thinking the same way Bean's thinking.
Yes, you first, Bean.
Really?
Okay. The floor recognizes Bean.
I was very confused yesterday, Ralph, and perhaps you're smarter than I am or follow politics
That's
more
correct.
Closely than I do, but why did Ted Cruz pick a vice presidential running mate yesterday? He doesn't have the nomination. Why is that unusual for somebody to pick a vice president when you don't have the nomination?
Well, not unusual. Oh, yeah, it is unusual.
It's practically unheard of. It's very weird. Like, he's a guy who's not going to be the nominee. Why does he need a vice presidential candidate at his side? It's confusing to me.
Because he's desperate and looking for votes, and he thinks maybe if Carly, iCarly comes on his ticket, that maybe he can grab her votes.
Oh, that'll help him get the nomination.
That'll help him win the last few primaries, which will keep Trump from getting the total number he needs for a slam dunk nomination, which will force everyone to go to a bifurcated convention, and they'll have to debate, and maybe he can still squeak out a nomination.
So this is a Hail Mary.
It's a Hail Mary, exactly.
Okay,
yes,
gotcha.
He's trying to just garner his whatever voters may have leaned towards Carly Fiorina. He's hoping to pull them in.
Wow, that is a very savvy analysis right there.
The last time it happened was when Ronald Reagan was going up against Gerald Ford, sitting President Gerald Ford, and neither had enough delegates to get the nomination. And so at that time, Reagan named his vice president, which was a senator out of Pennsylvania. The name escapes me. But there was also a similar attempt to try to try to force the party's hand to try to name someone at the convention rather than just go with the incumbent.
It was very weird yesterday having Carly get up and start singing. I don't know if you guys saw that or not.
I did not.
For real?
Oh, yeah. I have the tape if you want it.
Yeah, I'd love to.
She's talking about traveling on the bus with Ted Cruz and his family.
We've been traveling around the country, and I've come to know Ted and Heidi and Caroline and Catherine. I know two girls that I just adore. I'm so happy I can see them more.
Right?
What's happening?
Because we travel on the bus all day. Yes. We get to play. We get to play. I won't bore you with any more of the song.
Oh, you didn't bore me. You terrified me.
That happened.
That's real?
Yesterday. That's real. That's Carly Fiorina.
You know, guys,
good choice, Ted. Well
we
done.
Did Ted go, all right, you know, let's... I was just... That wasn't...
I don't know what I was thinking. It wasn't my final answer.
Oh, my God.
This is the weirdest political year in my lifetime, certainly. It just continues to get stranger.
Well, speaking of politics, if the floor will now recognize me.
Yes, the floor recognizes Ralph Garman.
Will Ferrell's just been announced will be playing former President Ronald Reagan in the upcoming movie Reagan. Here's the premise. It's Reagan at the start of his second term. And the movie's premise is Reagan is already struggling with Alzheimer's and dementia. So his advisor bring in an intern who must convince him that he is an actor playing the president in a movie.
That might work.
I think it could. I think it could be funny.
With Will Ferrell?
Yes. So, Reagan, coming
bitchin'.
To the theater near you.
That's their slogan. Reagan, bitchin'.
I like it. Today's celebrity birthdays. Jessica Alba's 35 years old today. Penelope Cruz, 42. Harry Shum Jr. from Glee is 34. His co-star, and weren't they an item for a while? Still are, maybe? I don't know. Jenna Ushkowitz, 30 years old today.
I think that sort of sounds right.
Jay Leno, 66. Too Short, the rapper, is 50. Actress Anne Margaret turns 75. Violent J of Insane Clown Posse, 44 years old. And Jorge Garcia from Lost turns 43. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
You guys are already down to two people? How quickly does that happen with this band?
Seriously, we already lost the man? Come
on. Oh, there it is. Okay.
Apparently, Matt was freshening up, as the ladies like to say.
At least smells delightful.
It's a thrill, as always, to welcome our next guest to the Kevin and Bean Show. As we've talked about, Travis, I think when you were in here a couple months ago talking music, I think we were reminiscing that you guys have been coming in for over 20 years on the Kevin and Bean Show, and it's always so much fun to see you, and we are pleased to open up the new chapter for Blink 182, stopping by K-Rock.
Thank you.
Second day in a row, by the way. Hey, Mark. Hey, Travis. Hey, Matt. Good morning to all of you.
Morning.
Good morning.
You guys just slept in the parking lot after Stryker's show yesterday, I hope, right? Why bother going
home? I normally sleep in your parking lot.
You're the guy?
Yeah, I'm the guy.
That's weird.
So we have so much ground we want to cover, so many things we want to talk about. First, though, congratulations on Bored to Death, which is freaking awesome.
Thank you very much. We're very happy with it. Thank you.
I was listening yesterday when Stryker played it, and I was like, oh, my God, this is better than I even thought it was going to be. And you guys have set such high expectations.
Wow, thank you. That's very nice of you to say. It's what we do. That's pretty much what we do is we blow people away with our music and surpass their expectations and leave people agape.
Now, what happened yesterday that you guys can't keep any type of secret? What was going on with the song?
I'm also fascinated with how your day unfolded yesterday.
Well,
artwork, everything in your world exploded.
Yeah, well, we were at rehearsal, and we had planned for months now to come in and play the song this morning on your show. But the way that the internet works is somebody at our management office posted the lyric video of the song and didn't make it private or password protected until today. So it was just up there. A lot of times people get hacked or things like that, but what happened in our case is we just put it up on accident.
So you're saying that it was up and then it was going to kick in with a password today when it was released?
No, you're supposed to, that's it. You're supposed to put it up with a password. You're supposed to put it up so it's invisible or if you need access to it as a password, but instead our guy just posted it.
Is he alive?
Yeah.
Okay.
He's a good guy. He's a hardworking guy and it was an honest mistake.
Yeah. All right. So how did you find out about it?
I found out about it because we had just finished rehearsal, and I literally picked up my phone to check my messages, and there was all these alerts of people saying, I love the new Blink song. But the thing is, these are all friends of mine, and so I thought maybe they had heard it through the label or heard it through somebody in the studio or something like that, but I looked, and I pushed on the link, and it was just there.
There it was.
There yeah. it was.
How about that?
Yeah.
For everybody to see.
So then you guys say, well, let's hop in the van and head on over to K-Rock.
So as I'm getting that, as I'm like looking at my phone and seeing all this stuff, I get a text from Lisa Warden from K-Rock.
Our music director.
Saying, I'm so excited for you guys to come in tomorrow. Can't wait. So excited. And I literally went, the song just leaked. And she's like, ha, 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 funny. No, for real. And then we came yesterday and hung out with Stryker and played the song then and put it all up last night. Everybody hustled and made we were served lemons and Travis made lemonade.
Nice.
Yep.
It's like having Beyonce in
it
here.
Is. This yes, is great. Just like having Beyonce.
All right. So let me ask you this, Travis, and that is you've been sitting on this song for a while. It's finally unleashed to the world. Did you spend last night online seeing what the reaction was from fans around the world? What was that experience like, finally having people hear it?
You know, I didn't do that. I don't like going on the online and seeing what people say too much. It was one of the first songs we recorded with Feldman. And I've lived with it so long, I already know how I feel about it. I think it was a really great first representation of what the band sounded like and really great first single. But besides like little rumblings of, you know, just speaking to friends saying they liked it, I didn't really look and go in the comments and see what everyone said, you know?
How long has Bored to Death been done?
It was the first song we wrote.
Yeah, first song we wrote.
No kidding.
It's been done since early January.
I'd like to say congratulations on keeping it a secret for this long.
Thanks.
Until yesterday.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, like, Beyonce recorded an entire album, shot an entire movie based around the album, and
right.
kept it totally secret, and nothing leaked, and we can't even, like, get our, like,
okay.
artwork.
I mean, technically, that's true.
And by the way, Travis is totally misstating. Last night, he has his gnarly gaming chair with, like, speakers in the headset and gaming, like, a little earpiece microphone.
Like Dave Grohl's throne that he uses.
And, like, four different screens with gaming mouses just looking at all the comments.
All right. Now, Matt Skiba, first of all, welcome to the Kevin Meet Show. Great
Thank
to have you,
you
on.
Great
finally
to be
meet
here.
You. Tell me your recollections of January when you guys were putting that song together. It was the first song you guys recorded for this new record. Tell me what that period was like for you.
Well, we spent a couple months writing on our own. So we had, I don't know, like 20, 30 songs or something, just demos that we did at Travis's studio. So we weren't sure where they were going to go. And immediately with Feldman, we went in there and it was just the, you know, it was magic.
How does that
say.
Work? How does his inclusion into this group make things so much easier?
And he's your producer, we should mention,
right.
for folks
yeah.
who aren't familiar with the name. Okay.
He kept us really focused on writing a Blink record. We would come in and work on stuff, and he's really good at getting us focused on writing catchy things.
What would happen if you didn't have a producer like that? Do you all of a sudden become The Weeknd or something? I mean, what was the fear of what would happen if you didn't have somebody think,
you
hey, be Blink?
The Weeknd.
Then all the albums sound like Neighborhood, in my opinion. No, I mean, John Feldman was super instrumental in infusing everything together. We had done like 19 or 20, I don't know, 20, 30 songs, and and then I really wanted to get Feldman in the mix because he's a great producer. And we hadn't worked with anyone since Jerry Finn, who was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we were so close to him, and he was so great. And Matt worked with him, too, in other bands as well. I think it was hard to think about replacing him or getting someone else in the mix. But I'd have to say John Feldman has come the closest to it feeling like that. He killed it with this record, and he was just great, man. Extra set of eyes and ears. He was awesome.
How are personality and chemistry and so many things come into play when you're talking about making music, right?
Yeah, he's great.
There's such a big thing with working with a producer that it has to click on so many levels. He has to get the best performance out of each person, and everybody needs something different, and everybody has different ideas, and it takes a very special person to be able to navigate all that and to get creative energy, good creative energy out of people.
I'm so in awe of you guys coming in and going, and like Matt said, we wrote separately for a couple of months and then we put our ideas together, and you ended up having, 30, 40 different ideas for songs. I mean, what a wonderful creative place to be in where it's not a struggle to put together 10 to make a record.
Well, what we did is we wrote all those songs and then we threw those all away and then walked into the studio with John and wrote whatever it was, 28 songs in a period of, and I'm not exaggerating, a period of like 3 or 4 weeks, we wrote 20 something songs. We would, like, I would show.
But most of those are terrible, right?
No, he's saying those are the ones they use.
These are the ones that we use. I mean, we threw away probably 4 or 5 of them, but we have so many. So, I would show up at John's house at 8 o'clock in the morning, start writing, and then we would end up staying until 2 o'clock in the morning.
Is there no part of you guys that says we worked so hard on those 20 to 30 songs? It's really difficult to toss them away.
It is difficult for those songs. It was difficult to toss them away. And as we were going, we would say like, okay, well, I think these are the 10 or 12 songs that are going on the record, and then we'd work more on it and go, oh, well, this song really came up, or this song really changed. And so in the end, it wasn't difficult. In the end, I think everything that we wanted to have on the record pretty much was self-evident.
Well, the track listing blew me away. I can't wait to hear some of these songs because some of these titles, I mean, Built This Pool. There's never been a song written called Built This Pool. I'll tell you that.
It's true. It's actually, we wanted to come in because the surprise got blown yesterday. We came in and we wanted to premiere that song today for you guys.
Built This Pool.
Built This Pool.
Okay.
It's a song on the record. It's an important song. It's actually a song that I had kind of in my back pocket for years now, and John really helped bring it to life. So if you guys want to play it, this is Built This Pool.
Let's play it.
Thank you.
I'd like to come over.
Standing on.
Thank you. Thank you very
check
much.
Check out your pool immediately.
Blink 182 is here. It's Mark, Travis, and Matt. The album is called California. We'll talk some more about that coming out on July 1st, and we'll play some new Blink as well when we return. Don't forget, you're listening to us on K-Rock. You can also be watching the interview with the guys and hear all the dirty stuff we talk about during the commercials, too, at Facebook Live. We'll be right back on the Kevin and Bean Show.
We're in studio with Blink 182.
Hi. We are worldwide and live on Facebook Live right now with Mark and Travis and Matt, hearing from fans of yours all over the world, from the Philippines, from Brazil, a lot of people listening. And it's so funny because the world is a big place and it takes a long time to tour. You can never make all the fans happy. Everybody's like, when are you coming to my town? You'd have to play like 10 shows a day for the rest of your life to hit all the places people want Blink to play. How do you think about when you start putting a tour together?
What do I think about?
Like, in terms of how many places you have to go and want to go.
I want to go everywhere. I love touring. Touring's awesome. It's what we started doing, obviously, playing live, and you get to see cool places and meet cool people. And
it seems like when bands put together tours that are too long, too ambitious, though, it just seems to just drain all of the life out of them after, 18 months on the road or whatever.
Yeah.
Tough way to live, isn't it?
It is. Touring's hard because it just gets repetitive and boring sometimes, and you just end up spending a lot of time in concrete rooms backstage. But when you get on stage, it's so awesome. It's so fun. It's always so fun to get out and play, and it's always worth all the travel and, time in airports and in hotel lobbies and backstage and things like that for that hour and a half that you're on stage.
What about you, Matt? You like the touring part of it? You like the writing process?
Yeah, I mean, the studio used to be my least favorite aspect of being a musician, and now I think it's all very different, It's like once you get towards the end of making a record, you're ready to go on the road. Once you get towards the end of a tour, you're ready to go home and see your kids or your family or whatever. So, but it's all still really exciting. I think that being a musician, especially like being in a punk rock band, I think is the best job a guy could have, or a girl.
And what is it like for you three to write new music? Travis, you want to take that one?
Awesome.
How has it changed with Matt and the band, and what are the dynamics?
Nah, I mean, it's been awesome. Recording this album, we've known Matt for years, and Alkaline had toured with Blink for years, so we were already really familiar with Matt. We had done those shows a couple years ago with Matt, and then we really, we never, said, we have to go in and record. It was, a decision. We wanted to. We just kind of wanted to explore writing new music, and it was so fun, man. It was so... it was great vibes, great energy. It's the easiest work ever,
Was it obvious to you that Matt was the guy when you realized you had a position open in the band, or was there a time where you thought, well, now we got to go out and start auditioning people?
We auditioned a lot of people before we hit. So, no, I'm just joking.
He was the only one. When it happened, like, we had music going, and I came to Mark, and I was like, yo, the only way I could see this happening, or the only person we could do it with, would be Matt Skiba. And it wasn't like I was in conversations or talking with Matt Skiba already. It was just that it was in my head. I was like, that's the only person that could do this. You know?
That's beautiful.
And Matt, you're right.
Organic.
What did you feel like, Matt, when they came to you with the offer of...
I was pleasantly shocked, you know. Mark and I, you know, all three of us have been friends for many years, and Mark and I were talking about doing some music together here and there, just like kind of side project-y stuff, and so Mark hit me up, and it wasn't necessarily out of the blue. It was like, hey, you want to have lunch? And I said, sure, and then Travis was coming to lunch, and I thought, well, something is happening. I didn't, and in a
You're
million
about to get
years,
jumped, you thought?
I thought, yeah. Didn't think I was going to get jumped.
Okay.
I was hoping for it, but no, it was cool. It was just like, like I said, it was just pleasantly shocking, and it's still very surreal. You know, I'm really thankful to be here right now with all you beautiful people and these two guys.
Did you ease into it? Like during an appetizer, you were like, hey, what's been going on with you? Or were you like, hey, before we even get a soda,
Blake. Well, it was lunch, so we didn't have appetizers.
What kind of lunch are you doing?
We had ordered. Okay. We were at Crossroads, Travis's restaurant, and Matt came, and we ordered the food. And
I was in the other room. They were in the private room, which I didn't know existed.
Oh, yeah.
For like 15 minutes, they were waiting for me in the other room.
Yeah.
And I was sitting there like, where the hell are these guys?
They're supposed to be professional.
They just set me up, didn't they?
And I think we'd ordered the food, and then I said, okay, here's what's going on, and talked to Matt, and he said, okay, cool.
Did you have to think about it, Matt?
Only thing that I thought of was the tour dates for Alkaline Trio was at the kind of ending of album cycle, and Mark said, well, here are your tour dates. I already know them, so either you want to do this or you don't. I said, I absolutely want to do it. As long as I'm free and don't have any prior commitments, I'm in.
What's the status of Alkaline Trio now?
We're just chilling. We did a show for Goose Island Brewery maybe 3 or 4 weeks ago in Chicago. Mm-hmm. So we'll do a show here and there, but, you know, Blink is the priority right now, of course.
Here's my follow-up lunch question. Travis, when the guys eat at your restaurant, do they have to pay full price? Or do you cut them some sort of discount for being in Blink?
No, I always cover everybody. You know, if I invite someone to dinner at Crossroads, I got the bill.
Sweet.
I'm free.
So if you guys want to go to dinner, breakfast.
We have to eat dinner each night. I'm saying.
Well, we don't want to go to lunch because you can't get appetizers.
Because there's no appetizers.
And if he invites you to lunch anywhere else, you're paying.
Okay. All right. Remember the secret room.
Secret room. It's like the In-N-Out Burger, like the secret menu at In-N-Out Burger. There's like a secret back room there. There's secret parking. There's like secret entrances. There's like a tunnel that runs from the Paul Smith store across the street underneath Melrose and
pretty
pops
sweet
up in the kitchen there.
I knew Travis was in the Illuminati. I just didn't know how far it went. Blink-182 is here on the Kevin and Bean Show. We're going to be playing Bored to Death coming up here next. This is the first single from the album called California. Let me ask you about both of those things. First of all, mm-hmm, why is the album called California?
The album's called California because we kept referencing different parts of California in the songs. We have one song called Los Angeles. We have one song called California. We have one song called San Diego. We shout out all these Southern California bands like Bad Religion. We were just in a really like Southern California headspace when we were writing all the songs.
So you don't sit around and try to come up with the name of an album. You put all the music together and then just sort of let it tell you what...
The title of this album was one of the most difficult things that I've done in my entire life.
Why?
because we were on... It went through so many different iterations. At one point, we were thinking, oh, it'd be cool to do a joke title, and we came up with all these joke titles, and then we were like, well, the first song that really, really grabbed everybody's attention in our group was a song called Los Angeles, and then it kind of morphed into other things. And so there was this ongoing conversation about what's this album going to be called, and at one time it was Los Angeles, and at one time it was Nude Erection, and at one time it was OBGYN Kenobi, and another time, I mean, we had all these different titles. Oh, No Hard Feelings. Get it?
No. I get it.
Okay.
I like it.
moving on.
I'm not sure how to respond to it.
Yeah, see, your silence there is why we didn't call it that.
Exactly. Okay, all right. Now, you said on Stryker yesterday on K-Rock in the Afternoon that the album's coming out on July 1st, which is, and I did not source you on this, but were you kidding when you said it's the 182nd day of the year?
It is the 182nd day of the year. This year, it's actually the 183rd, because every time that the Earth goes around the sun, there's like a quarter of the day, and so to compensate for that, we have what's called a leap year. And what they do
is they
add a day onto the year every 4 years to compensate for that
quarter
of the day.
We know how that works.
You're a full-on nerd. That's awesome.
So it's actually the 183rd day of the year this year, but traditionally, three-quarters of the time, it's the 182nd day of the year. So July 1st is Blink-182 day.
I like it.
All right.
It's national. All right. We're getting senators to sponsor it.
I like it.
A resolution
passed. This is a good time to get through Congress.
Yes. Easy.
You explained California. Now tell us a little bit about the writing of Bored to Death. You talked earlier about how it was the first song you guys kind of laid down and stuff. Because we're going to play it next year on the Kevin DeBeach Show. What's the impetus of Bored to Death? Because you guys don't strike me as ever being bored to death.
No, it was just that song came together so quickly. It was literally I think the first day that we got in the studio with John, and we had this idea and started putting it together. And Travis had played scratch drums on it, and Matt had done stuff, and we had written the lyrics. And then it was probably like 9 or 10 o'clock at night, and it was just me and John in the studio. And I had an idea. I'm like, I got an idea for a bridge, and I started writing all these words down. I think I met her at the minute that the rhythm was set down, and I wrote that out, and it was just really an easy day at the studio.
Yeah, I think we knocked out two or three songs that first day.
Wow.
And that was one of the ideas.
That's amazing. Well, it's fast becoming on the short list of people's favorite Blink song, just judging from the reaction we saw yesterday when you played it here on K-Rock. And we're going to play it again and talk more with the guys when we return. Don't forget, you can hear us right now on K-Rock. You can stream us through K-Rock.com. And if you'd like, you can actually watch at Facebook Live. We'll play some Blink and talk more with Blink when we return right after this on K-Rock.
The guys from Blink-182 are in the studio with us. That song is so great.
And so great.
Travis, you are not a slacker on the drums.
Thank you.
You bring it.
That in part was actually I think I was just playing after the song ended, and he ended up keeping it, which is kind of cool. It ended up, you know, being a part of the record.
That's fun. That's fun. That's called Bored to Death from the new album called California, which is going to be released on July the 1st. 16 tracks made the album. Hey, can I talk about the song that is listed at track number 16? Is that a for real or is that a joke?
Which one?
It's called Bohemian.
No. Brohemian. Rhapsody.
It says Bohemian.
It's not spelled
here.
Correctly on the paper.
There is a Bohemian Rhapsody?
Yes, we wrote a song called Bohemian Rhapsody.
I can never tell when you're kidding.
No, it's for real.
Are you serious?
We're kidding, but it's for real.
No, it is. That's the name of a song on our record, Bohemian Rhapsody.
That's the best song title ever.
Thank you.
Do you want to hear some of it, Bean?
Yes, you have it.
Oh, I like it.
On the hand farts.
Dude.
Mark's really stepping it up.
Yeah.
That's how that guy does it.
Very good.
Charity.
That was the right choice.
Yeah. Let's talk about the tour some more, because the U.S. tour dates are out now.
Yes, they are.
Kicks off on July 22nd in San Diego, and it looks like it's going all the way through the 1st of October at the Forum, everybody.
That's right. We will be right back here in sunny Los Angeles, October 1st at the world-famous Forum.
That's beautiful. September 29th, Irvine Meadows Amphitheater. That has got to be one of the very last shows at that venue.
It is.
They tear it down.
It is.
You guys should, that's like the final week or something.
You guys should burn the mother down.
They need it to go away, right? They need that. You'd be doing them a favor.
Right. Saving them money.
Right.
Incite a riot and just have them rip the place apart.
I'm saying they're going to do that on the sly anyway.
Right. There could be injuries.
Okay. How sad is that to lose that venue, by the way? I don't know about you.
Well, I don't know the specifics of it, but I heard that they were having to lose the venue because the people that had moved in nearby were complaining about the noise, which just seems asinine to me. Like, you moved
That's
next
not true.
To... That's not true.
That's not true.
Okay,
no, they're
cool.
Tearing it down to build more apartments.
Oh, that I support. Oh, that's good. I like
that's
that
all
idea.
Fine.
That's fine. That's good. As long as it's parking lots and housing, that's fine. Maybe a strip mall.
Now, so far, all of the dates that have been announced are U.S.
Yes.
Do you have plans for others that we're not aware of yet?
We're venturing.
That will leak today?
We're venturing up into Canada.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yes, and then we're planning international for next year.
Okay, because we're on Facebook Live right now with Blink-182. We are hearing from Latvia, the Philippines, the Czech Republic, from Argentina, from Costa Rica, from Brazil, from Japan, from Argentina, from Italy. And, of course, they're all saying, hey, what about us?
To that I say, we are going to your house. Not your house, but your town.
House?
Everybody's town who wants us to go there, we will be there next year.
Oh, congratulations, Latvia.
Yep.
Nice.
Yep, well, we will be there. All you have to do is write at Kevin and Bean, and we will go to your town.
This is such an exciting day for us, and it must you guys just must be just bursting with excitement that the music is out there now for people to hear, and you guys are getting ready to embark on this thing, and you just have to feel like Blink-182 is in such a great place in 2016. I'm so happy for all three of you.
Thank you very much. It's very nice of you.
Was there a time when you doubted it along the way? Because you've had your ups and downs, obviously.
Travis, for the love of God, with your phone, with the phone call.
So sorry.
I don't know. I was.
Did you think you would be sitting in this position where you have the new album, you're happy with it?
This album for me far surpassed what I had hoped to do, and I really wanted to go in and write a great record, and I think that this album for me personally surpassed everything that I thought that we could do, and I'm really proud of it, and I'm really thankful. For Matt and for Travis and for John and everybody in the studio that really pushed us to write this record, and I'm really proud of it, and I can't wait for people to hear it.
Do we have time to fit in Built This Pool again?
I mean, it's almost 8 o'clock, but yeah, sure.
All right. That's going to go over so well.
If you can believe it, we wrote that song in like less than 3 days.
No.
What?
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah.
It's
from
like
start
magic.
To finish.
That was like magic.
Yeah.
You guys are magicians.
The funny thing is, honestly, at the end of the song, the funny, Travis had not even heard the song. I got it there in the morning early, and I was messing around with this idea, and John's like, oh, we got to record that. And so we recorded it to a click. And then Travis came in, and John says, okay, Travis, it's a 16-bar rock beat. So you're going to have a 4-count in and just play it out. And Travis goes, and Travis played it. And at the end, it stops, and Travis goes, is that really it? and we kept that take and kept that at the end of the song.
That's so fun.
That is fantastic.
All right, guys, we're out of time. It's been great to see
you. Who's coming in after us? Who's next?
Congratulations. Jim Rome.
Oh, dope. Jim Rome's great.
And,
is he talking about the draft? I bet he's talking about the draft.
About the NFL
he's talking about the draft.
Yep.
Are we taking Jared Goff, number one, the Rams?
I don't know.
I'm going to ask Jim.
You can stick around if you like. I mean, and, we can always use the help.
Okay.
We got Corolla coming at 9 as well, too.
Oh, dope.
So, busy day. All right. Blink-182, let's hear it for the guys.
Hey.
Congratulations. We'll see you on the road. Again, the tour dates, by the way. Irvine Meadows Amphitheater, September 29th, and the Forum on October 1st. And you can get all those details at blink182.com. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
6.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 7:56.
A lot of fun having the Blink kids in here this morning. But listen to this. Listen to this in the 8 o'clock hour. Talk sports with Jim Rome.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Give away some more tickets for Captain America Civil War next hour. And the great actor Anton Yelchin is going to be joining us, too. All that between 8 and 9 coming up on K-Rock. First, Ralph's got the showbiz beat here on a Thursday. What's new?
Well, Jessica Alba's in trouble. It's her birthday
girl?
Today's her birthday.
What?
And she's been hit with another lawsuit over her The Honest Company.
Uh-oh.
You know, she's got a company that does health and beauty products for women and children.
Right.
And a nonprofit group called the Organic Consumers Association filed a lawsuit against her saying that she violates the Organic Food Production Act of 1990. I will not stand for that.
What is that?
And the California Organic Products Act of 2003.
Well, we all know what it is. But
by claiming its premium infant formula is organic. And they're saying, nuh-uh, they said in a legal brief.
I'm sorry.
One page. Nuh-uh. So a spokesperson for the company says the lawsuit's without merit, noting that the formula had been cleared by the FDA and meets all safety and nutritional standards. And it's been certified organic by an independent third party and blah, 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 blah. Here's all I want to say to the parents that are suing Jessica Alba. Shut up! No matter her, she is so much prettier than your ugly children.
Oh.
And that's all that matters.
The defense rests.
Right?
Is that what we're saying?
Next case. What's next?
I'm rolling for the hottie.
Yeah, I don't care.
whatever. You know what? You know what I used to eat when I was a kid? Dirt and rocks. Look at me. I turned out just fine. Lead paint chips. That's all my diet was. Butane?
What are you talking about?
All the stuff I ate when I was a kid.
You ate butane?
Yes. DDT? The pesticide? Diet.
No.
You come out fine. Just feed your kids the formula and it'll be fine.
Eat
the sandwich.
You'll shut up and you'll like it.
That's right. Here's good news. Good news, bad news. Looks like Billy Bush is leaving Access Hollywood.
That's
the good news.
Uh-oh.
No.
No?
He's not going to join Kelly Ripa.
Okay.
I heard that's Taron Egerton from Kingsman.
Yeah, no.
Kingsman's going to join her.
That's not
going to call
the
show.
And the Taron?
Nope.
Sorry.
It's unbelievable. It's really stunning. It really takes the wind out of you like a shot to the solar plexus. He's relentless. He's relentless, right?
He's just trying to have fun.
He's relentless.
How about that whole deal?
Right? Billy Bush may be joining the Today Show.
Oh, no. This is a colossal disaster.
So they don't have enough people on that show?
Exactly. Oh. He will be the 47th member of the Today Show crew. Reportedly, he'll start on Today in September, and the official announcement is expected to come next month. So act surprised when he tells you.
I don't watch Access Hollywood, but hasn't he been on that show for like 20 years or something?
Yeah,
long time, right?
No, he's awful. That's all I know. This is good news. You know how I feel about Martin Short. Mm-hmm. Just earlier in the week.
You love him.
Identified him.
He's one of your five favorite celebrities of all time.
I identified him as one of my five favorite celebrities of all time earlier this week.
Yes.
And there's good news for me. He's just joined the cast of that NBC Live production of Hairspray that they're doing. He will be playing the dad of the girl.
The dad Tracy, of the girl?
Sorry. Tracy Turnblad.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he'll play the dad and husband of Edna Turnblad, who will be played by Harvey Fierstein. He played that role on Broadway. John Travolta played in the movie, if you remember correctly.
Sure.
But Martin Short will be the dad, which will be awesome. Harvey Fierstein, by the way, playing the mom. That's a pleasant sound.
It is a good sound.
I'm looking forward to hearing that for 2 hours. So, when you're going down to the thing, just give him the box you hold up to your trach. I want to know when I'm... It's a more pleasant sound than the actual voice of Harvey Fierstein.
It is hard to listen to.
So when you're going... And it's getting worse!
Yep.
Used to be husky, now it's full-blown trach.
Sounds great!
Doesn't sound great. You're mistaken, madam. Did she just laugh at me?
She giggled.
Hey. Let me come over there, Cat's mom.
That's dangerous.
Yeah, you're right. It's dangerous. For you.
How bad is that going to be?
You're awful. Going to rough you up.
Oh, thanks a lot.
Well.
She'd kick your ass.
Even if you're Cat's mom, still taking you out.
What?
Yeah, you heard me. Ugh. She's the worst.
I have no idea what that means.
It means you and Harvey Fierstein should have a show together.
That is a beautiful sound.
Two voices that just like angels descending upon your ears.
Put them together.
So, Cat's mom, what do you think about this whole thing?
I think it's great.
Oh, can you imagine?
No, that would be the worst thing ever.
Could use that in prison to get people to confess. Those two. Today's celebrity birthdays, as we mentioned, Jessica Alba's 35 years old today. Penelope Cruz is 42. Jay Leno, former host of The Tonight Show. It says here, car enthusiast Jay Leno.
Oh, okay.
Is that what he's known for
That's
now?
What he's known for now.
Now the mighty have fallen. He's 66. Rapper Too Short is 50. Violent J, Insane Clown Posse, is 44. And Jorge Garcia, you remember him from Lost as Hurley. He is 43 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show as beat.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 8:08.
Thursday is just after 8 o'clock. We talk to our friend Jim Rome from JimRome.com with his live show every day from 9 till noon. Hey, Jim. How are you, sir?
Kevin, Bean, Ali, Sanchez, Chip. Did I get everybody?
I think you hit the highlights, yeah. Welcome
present?
Back to the program.
Present?
Hey, listen. Present, exactly. Your close personal friend... Mark Hoppus from Blink-182 was just in here with us. And he regretted that he could not stick around for your segment, but he is desperate for 5 o'clock this afternoon for his L.A. Rams number one overall pick. Yay or nay on Jared Goff?
It looks like yay. It looks like he's going to be he's going to be the guy. And, you know, there's a lot to like about him. He's got a good head. He's got a good arm. You know, all that blah, 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 draft stock stuff. But the best thing about the Rams is they're coming back to town and they've got that number one pick. You know, you can't come into a town like this that's bright lights, big city, all the buzz, and coming with Case Keenum because he is none of those things. So they did what they had to do. They moved up. And they could get potentially a stud quarterback. So my guy Hoppus, I can't guarantee anything, but they've got the pick. Now they've got to get the right guy, and it looks like Goff is that.
You know, there's a long history of number one quarterback picks that have, it seems like in recent years, have really been working out. I mean, Jameis Winston is still a work in progress, but it looks like he's got the goods, right? Andrew Luck, obviously, was a huge success. Cam Newton was a huge success. I mean, there's been a lot of success. I mean, you know, there are busts, of course, as well. You never know what you're going to get. You're going to roll the dice, but you feel pretty good about this kid.
You know, I feel pretty good about this guy, but, I mean, that's just me sitting in front of a microphone and just kind of running my mouth. I mean, imagine the people that are paid to know the amount of money that goes into figuring out what a guy can and can't do. I mean, they spend all their time doing all their research, and you never really know. You know, my personal feeling is I like this guy, and I like the move to try to get up and get this guy, but I'm not convinced that he's a Mariota or a Jameis Winston. I definitely don't think he's an Andrew Luck, but I think the Rams had no choice. If you're coming back to L.A. and you're going to go into a beautiful new crib, you better come with some hype and some buzz. So I can't guarantee he's the guy, but they did the right thing in trying to get up to get the guy.
It seems like such a roll of the dice for them to figure this out. You know, it's their it could be their entire franchise here.
No, it's like this. I mean, if this guy's a stud quarterback and they go into an awesome stadium, and then they're immediately relevant in this town. You've got to have that. But if they push everything to the center of the table and they roll the dice and they crap out and he's a bust, they're in a hole before their new stadium's even built.
Right.
But again, you have to take that swing. You do not come into this town with everything that's going on and try and roll in with Case Keenum. You've got to give people something to be excited about. So it's a huge gamble, but they're doing the right thing. They just have to hope he's the right guy.
We've talked with you many times in the past, Mr. Rome, about how genius the NFL is, the way they space their events out throughout the year to make the NFL a year-round, 12-month-year sport, and the draft is no exception. I mean, this is practically a holiday for people. How deep is the available personnel this year? Are there a lot of stars that we're going to be looking to be placing, or just a couple of big names?
I think that you don't have it at the top of the draft, those like really transcendent guys, those huge names. I mean, every single year there's going to be a lot of talent, and the NFL draft's going to be a big show and a big party. No matter where they put it, where they hold it, the country stops to watch that sort of thing. But I just don't think at the very top of the draft you have that real star value. Like these two quarterbacks, we know they're going to go 1-2. It's going to be Goff and it's going to be Wentz. But neither one of these guys, as much as there is to like about them, they don't have that it. You know, that crazy personality, that crazy it, that cult of personality. So I think that's what you're missing. You're missing that kind of buzz and that heat. But there are definitely good, good players, and a lot of them this year.
All right, let's change gears for a moment to the NBA. A lot of people were feeling very optimistic about the Clippers going into the playoffs, but once again, they have been dealt a damaging blow with their two lead players both out for the rest of the playoffs injured. And people are starting to ask the question, Jim, and is it a legitimate one? Are the Clippers cursed?
Guys, I've never been one of those people who believes in curses. I mean, I think that's pretty lame. But if anybody's cursed, it's the Clippers, right? I used to think they were just bad, but maybe there's something bigger than that. If you lose your two best players in the same playoff game and they lose CP3 on a fluke, I mean, like some innocuous swipe at the ball, the kind of thing he's done a million times before, and then Blake repops his quad in the same game, right when it looks like they're back in this thing because Golden State loses Steph Curry. I used to think the curses were pretty lame. I'm starting to think, though, if that's not what that is, I don't know what it is. In fact, I'll say it. Damn straight they're cursed. Only the Clippers. Yes, it's a curse.
Allie, what were you saying yesterday about the coincidental date on the calendar that all this bad stuff happened to the Clippers?
Oh, it was 2 years to the day of when Donald Sterling's racist rants were released to TMZ that all of this happened. 2 years to the day.
Allie, good answer.
Right?
Good answer.
Right. Good answer.
There
Allie.
It is.
Cursed.
On the board.
You're cursed.
That interview yesterday with Doc Rivers, and he had a tear in his eye when he was talking about going through all the trials and tribulations and not having his mom around anymore. I mean, I genuinely felt bad for this poor guy. I mean, he's a really good coach, right, Jim? It's not him.
Great coach. No, great coach, great leader, tremendous guy. And trust me, he's tough. He's tough. Now, that guy would not be crying if they weren't cursed. He's crying because they are cursed. He knows it. It's look, what a roller coaster. I mean, 1 minute, they're in control of the series, and they think they've got a shot at beating Golden State because Steph Curry's out. The mm-hmm. next, they're on the verge of getting beat in the first round, and now we have to talk about whether or not they should bust this team up. Again, only the Clippers.
Is there
only
serious the talk of busting this team up?
I think there's serious consideration. I think it's kind of unfair because you wanted to see what they could do with the big three this year, you know, give them one more shot, and then they didn't get to play it out to see what they could do. But at the same time, you've had Blake and you've had CP3 together for 5 years, and they still haven't gotten out of the second round. So I'd be hesitant to run that thing back. I think you have to at least go out there and see what you can get for Blake Griffin. Don't make a change just for change's sake, but it's not working. They're not a top three team in the conference. You have to see what you can get for this guy.
Are we keeping Chuck the Condor? Do we know?
Yeah, Condor's not going
anywhere.
He's untradeable. He's untradeable. Yeah, there's not an offer to make that work.
We got a franchise tax on him.
Why even go there, Allie? Why would you ask
sorry,
that question?
Sorry.
Come on, Allie. You're better than that, Allie. At least I thought you were.
I'm not, Jim.
If you're old school on, and insist on hearing Jim on your radio, look for him on AM 1090 out of San Diego if you get that. If not, stream the show anytime at jimrome.com, a new live show today from 9 till noon. Always a pleasure to have you on, Mr. Rome. Thanks so much for the time. We'll do it again next week.
Go Ducks. Bye, guys.
Oh, man. I'm sorry, Chip.
That just right through the heart of a lot of people.
That was awesome.
All right. How about a pair of passes to K-Rock's exclusive IMAX 3D advanced screening of Marvel's Captain America Civil War, you guys? It's coming out everywhere on May 6th. You get to see it on May 4th at the Big Deal Theater at IMAX headquarters. We are looking for Captain America fans. You know how Ralph is with these games. You got to know your stuff. You can't guess. You got to know it. If you do, call now 1-800-520-1067. You can play for the tickets next on K-Rock. Civil War, right, Allie?
Right? I love a period piece.
No, it's not from the Civil War.
Sorry.
Talking about Marvel's Captain America Civil War coming out in theaters on May 6th. You get to see it at the Big Deal Theater at IMAX headquarters on the 4th. Ralph Garman, your contestants are lined up. What's this game called?
It's called Know Your Cap Facts.
Captain America and the Civil War Man. Go see the movie. Just know.
Facts. All right.
My groove thing. These are Captain America trivia questions. We are celebrating 75 years of Captain America as one of the greatest superheroes in comic book history. 75 years of history.
Right.
All you need to know is all of it to be able to answer a question correctly and then get a pair of tickets to see Captain America Civil War before anybody else. It's just that simple.
So we have five pairs, so we don't have to put them in a drawing. If you get it right, you win.
When you're in,
all right.
They say.
Let's start with Ray in Arleta. Hi, Ray.
Hi.
Hey, Ray, do you know your cap facts?
Yeah.
All right, let's find out. Captain America, as I mentioned, is 75 years old. First appeared in the comic books in March of 1941. What were the names of the two men who created Captain America?
Joe Simon and Jack Kirby.
Boom.
Wow.
At boom,
that.
Capilotta.
Wow.
How about Ray, everybody?
How about Ray?
How
put
about
a cap
Ray?
Cap in your ass.
What?
Sorry. Oh, we were all having a good time, Allie.
What happened? Let's go to Cruz in Anaheim. Hi, Cruz.
Hey, what's happening?
Bad things.
Cruz, we are looking over the history of Captain America. As we just mentioned, he appeared in Captain America Comics #1 back in March of 1941. On the very first cover of Captain America Comics, what is Captain America doing on that famous cover?
Oh, man.
Famous cover of Captain America Comics #1 from March 1941, the very first appearance of the character. What is he doing on that cover that is noteworthy? Very famous cover.
Oh, did he just stand there saluting?
No, sir.
Oh, man.
He's punching Hitler in the face.
Oh, what?
That's right. That's right. Punching Hitler in the
wow.
face. He's a baller.
No kidding.
Yeah. All right. Thank you for the call. Let's go to Corey in Yorba Linda. Hi, Corey.
Hi.
Hey, Corey. Back in March of 2007, Steve Rogers, a.k.a. Captain America, was killed. Who killed him?
Remember killed him? Let me guess, Baron Zemo.
No, I'm sorry. His girlfriend, Sharon Carter, was
that bitch,
was mind-controlled, and she killed
she didn't
killed
mean
Steve
it,
Rogers.
Though.
Like they do.
At the end of the comic book arc called Civil War, by the way, so it all ties in.
All right. Yeah. We've given away one pair. We still have four left. Let's go to Sean in Los Angeles. Hi.
Pobo Vell.
Hey, Sean. As we mentioned, Captain America was killed off in March of 2007. He came back, so don't worry about it. But who took over as Captain America, who wore the costume of Captain America after Steve Rogers was killed back in 2007?
Was that Iron Man?
No, I'm sorry. Bucky Barnes took over
Bucky.
As Captain America. Oh, yeah.
Gosh.
Sorry about that.
All right.
Tough questions.
Let's go to Nicholas.
They're not tough.
Let's go to Nicholas in Los Angeles. Well, I mean, if our goal is to give away tickets.
Well, you want people to earn them? But let's caller number seven then, Kevin. Why don't you just hand them out to people?
I'm saying.
I want real Captain America fans
all right.
to go.
Nicholas in Los Angeles is one of them.
Nicholas?
Hey.
Hey, Nicholas. Captain America, as we mentioned, debuted in 1941. Then he disappeared for a little while during the 50s. He came back in 1964, and the story is that he was in suspended animation in a block of ice. Who discovered Captain America in that block of ice in 1964?
Iron Man?
No, I'm sorry. The Avengers is what we're looking for. The Avengers discovered Captain America in suspended animation.
All right. Let's go to Steve in Azusa. Hi, Steve.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, Steve. We're going to have to...
I feel like Ray is going to have plenty of room around him in the theater.
We're going to have to loosen these questions up a little
stretch
bit.
Stretch out.
For people. Ray, here's your question. Of course, Captain America's most famous symbol is that mighty shield that he carries. Indestructible. What is it made out of?
Vibranium.
Vibranium is right,
there
sir.
You go.
Congratulations. That's my boy right there. Those are my peeps.
You got tickets.
Well done.
Let's go
well
to
done.
John.
Cardboard?
Let's
I don't want those people. I want people who know their stuff.
Let's go to John in Anaheim. Hi, John.
Cap facts.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. John. Captain America is considered to be the perfect human being. He became so because of a certain substance he was injected with. What is the name of that substance Captain America was injected with to make him the man he is today? It has a name. Three S's. I'll give you a hint. There's three S's. S-S-S. Three words. I'll start with S.
I don't know.
It's called the Super Soldier Serum. Super Soldier Serum.
Sure.
Pretty
sure.
Famous. Pretty famous in the legend of Captain America.
All right, let's go to Roy in North Hollywood. Hi,
come
Roy.
Come on, Roy.
Hey, how you doing?
Roy, how you been doing so far?
Oh, very, very difficult question.
Mm. They're not that difficult. Who was Captain America's very first partner? Who fought alongside Captain America back in the 40s during World War II? What was the name of that young gentleman?
Bucky Barnes?
Bucky Barnes is correct, sir.
Nicely
well done.
Done,
sir. You're going.
Congratulations. Thanks for playing the game. Muggs must be asleep because he's not screening
any
other
round of callers.
So, round of callers?
Oh, sorry about that.
So thanks for playing the game. Just know your
cat facts. Tonight is the final Love Line after more than 30 years on K-Rock. Adam Carolla is going to be sitting in with Dr. Drew to say goodbye to the show, and Adam joins us just after 9 o'clock this morning here on K-Rock. First, though, you know how, Kevin, you'll see a trailer for a movie and you'll be like, oh, my God, I want to see that movie.
Yep.
But I need to see it during the day so that I can walk out of a theater into sunlight instead of walking out of theater into darkness because of what an intense experience I'm about to go through. That is what Green Room looks like to me. Looks like I'm going to love it, but looks like I'm going to need to go back to my real life immediately afterwards because it's a dangerous, dark, bloody place that I'm not sure I want to live in forever. We're very excited to welcome to the program Anton Yelchin, one of the stars of Green Room in select theaters now opening nationwide tomorrow. Hey, Anton, how are you?
Hey, guys. How are you? How are you doing?
We're
very
doing
good.
Great. We appreciate you joining us. I'm serious when I say how great this movie looks and how intense it looks. And I can't even imagine what it's like to have almost every scene of your movie be that intense, how tough that must be to make it.
Yeah, there was one day I remember when, I mean, it's a brutal movie. It's Jeremy Sonnier, who directed it, likes to say that it's a faith-melting movie, which I'm going to have to agree with.
I like it.
And I remember there were definitely a few days at work where I felt like my face was melting. Like, I just, like, you know, in Scanners when the heads explode?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Like, there were points where I looked around and I was like,
Amy's crying, Joe's crying, Allie is crying, Callum's crying, I'm crying, we're all screaming. I'm going to lose my I need to get out of this room. it was fun, though. It was awesome. But, like, yeah, it was brutal.
Yeah, and I'm glad you mentioned that get out of this room, because most of the movie takes place in a punk rock club, and you are literally in a room that is closed up. I mean, and you're a guy, you know, as an actor, you're used to having lots of different sets and lots of different experiences on the set, but every day you show up for work in the same tiny little place, and I imagine that claustrophobia kind of added to your performance, I bet.
Yeah, I mean, I think for everyone, even the crew, it was like, there were days when members of the crew had to leave the set because it was, you know, it's funny. It's not just the claustrophobia of the set, but it's showing up and putting the same wardrobe on every day, because for blood continuity and things like that, we wouldn't wash the wardrobe. And so,
okay,
I don't have a good sense of smell, which really helped me out, because I wear that same nasty T-shirt for like 30-something days.
Oh. Anton, this sounds horrible.
No, it was great. It was awesome. I mean, it really does add to it. You're like in this weird headspace for 30 days. It's great, you know. And then you watch the movie, and it's brutal, and it works.
We had Patrick Stewart in, and just all of us fell in love with him. Tell us what it's like doing a movie with him.
Oh, he's amazing. I mean, we did not talk much on set because it wasn't really conducive to work.
Right.
But afterwards, we had these like beautiful van rides home through the like lush northwestern wilderness, just talking about everything. And he's the loveliest man. He's so funny and just such a good human being. I mean, I was really humbled by his person. You know, he's such an accomplished actor on stage and screen, and it's such a lovely, lovely man.
Yeah, he doesn't take himself seriously, and he sort of makes, like, when he came in here, he made me feel important. How does somebody do that, being as accomplished as he is?
It's really impressive. That's exactly how I felt. Like, you know, it's really, really, really impressive and inspiring.
We're talking to Anton Yelchin here on the Kevin DeMint Show about the film available in theaters everywhere called Green Room. Now, you play a musician. You are a punk rock bassist, and I understand that you are not one of those actors who had to learn how to play for the role. You kind of have – do you have a little bit of a musical background in your real life too, Anton?
Yeah, my friends and I, we had a garage punk band a few years ago. I remember, I could really relate. There's a show that they play in the movie before they end up at this one venue, this ill-fated venue. I had a Mexican restaurant where they played for about five people. I'm going to say, with all due respect to my friends, or like, you know, my best friends, that was pretty much the trajectory of our band. Was playing to like five people. And I feel like you can play folk music for five people and it's cool, you know?
Yeah.
Like playing a punk show for five people?
Yeah.
So it just hurts you on the inside. You're like playing so aggressively and you're working so hard, and then you just look out and people just have these blank stares. We were a very lazy band, so we played the Viper Room Sundays at midnight. Which is like kind of asking for it, like asking for there to be no one there. But it was a blast, man. I had such a good time. It was like some of the most fun I've ever had.
You do kind of, I agree with you. I think you do kind of need a crowd to make a punk rock show work. I think that's right.
Yeah.
You mentioned the blood in this movie, and there's a lot of people who do not survive to the end of the thing. And I understand there are dogs involved at one point, and there's knives, and there's guns. What's the stuff like that they put all over you? I mean, you had a lot of blood on you at one point, right?
Yeah, you know what?
Is it like syrup?
Yeah, it's basically like, it's like sugar-based or something. It's like, just this kind of like, yeah, it's weird, man. I don't like it. I don't like any kind of, I don't like that stuff, like, on me. And it was just all over.
I feel like that's fair that you don't like it on
weird,
you.
Like, it's what? Sorry?
I said I feel like it's fair that you wouldn't like that on you. Of course, who would?
Yeah, man, it's gnarly, man. I'm just not into it. Like, every day, just so much, man.
Okay.
But, you know, you kind of tune it out.
That's a good takeaway, is let's not be covered in blood today. I think that's a good advice.
Well, it's covered in generally weird, you know, like, what is this fluid? Like, every day there's, like, some other thing I was covered in, like, extinguisher, like powder or whatever. This fake blood. I was like, every day I was like, all right, what's next? You know, like, yeah. What are we going to put on us next?
You know what he's talking about, right, Allie?
Oh,
right?
Yeah. Wait, what?
It's a the film is called Green Room.
Gosh, wow.
Yeah, I'm sorry you had to hear that, Anton.
It looks intense, and I can't wait to see it. And what a great cast. We already talked about the great Sir Patrick Stewart. Alia Shakwat is in it, and she's amazing. Imogen Poots is in it, and she's amazing. Your role looks great. We can't wait to see this film. I hope everybody goes to see it. You know, every once in a while, a film comes along, and we say, if you like K-Rock, we think you'll like this movie. And this is the one for you called Green Room. Anton, I'm glad we got a chance to catch up, man. Thanks for coming on.
Likewise. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. 6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:52.
Ralph is here. Time for another look at the showbiz beat on a Thursday morning Kevin and Bean Show. What you talking about?
Well, before I get into showbiz news, just everybody is still talking about Bean.
Talking about Bean.
Talking about Bean. Jay, I want to thank Jay who wrote in. Listening to Bean's website story. Remember yesterday we talked about how Bean had... a potential buyer for one of his websites.
Bean the scam, the internet scam predictor?
Scam detector.
Detector.
Yes. And he was fascinated and spurred to action.
Okay.
By Bean's domains. And he did a little research online. And he discovered Bean. How many websites do you think Bean owns? How many registered domain names do you think Bean has?
We've had this conversation many times. I would guess 20.
Would you? Would you?
That high?
Allie, what would you guess?
Oh, I wouldn't have thought that high, but he is crazy.
Right.
Right.
So factor that in.
But okay. I factored that in. I went from, like, you know, 5 or 6 to 20 based on him being nuts.
I thought 8, so now I'm going to go 64.
Bean, would you like to reveal the real answer?
I don't know. I don't know the answer. I haven't bought a website in probably 10 years at least. I don't think about them.
Okay,
so I really don't remember. I think Kevin's about right. I think it's about 20.
Yeah, you have over 40 registered domain names, Bean.
Really?
Yeah.
That many? That doesn't sound right.
Do you have a few of them, Ralph?
That's pretty strong.
I don't, because here's the thing. When you do this, you did it through one of these search engines where you can find people who own domain names and then make them offers. This particular list that came out just gave the last few letters of the domain.
Oh.
So,
Bean, what are some of the real weird ones?
I don't have any that are weird.
You have over
40
domain names.
They all are very reasonable and useful, and they're all websites. I haven't had the time yet to
do
develop,
anything with any of
but
them.
But I will.
Name two.
Again, it's. I mean,
oh,
I have
name
two. I'm thinking. I have ClydeTumbaugh.com, of course.
Of course.
Well, yeah.
Because he's the great American that discovered Pluto.
Right. Sure.
I do hope one day to put up a ClydeTumbaugh.
Right, but you're not gonna go ahead.
I haven't gotten.
You won't do that.
What else do you have?
You don't have any websites, by the way. Just let's make this clear. You don't have to qualify that because you have no websites. These are only domain names. So every time we say a domain name, you don't say, I really haven't done anything with that yet. Given
that's
you
a
have
given
done
for
nothing
all 40 of
with
them.
Over 40 domain names, you have no websites.
Give me another.
That is accurate, yes.
Yes, it is. I know.
I own, I wish I had a list. I just don't remember. I own Valentina Tereshkova.com. Obviously, she's the first woman in space. I always meant to do something with that.
Sure.
I've not.
Yeah, we know.
That.
You haven't done anything with any of these.
The 70s soft rock hitmakers, England Dan and John Ford Coley.com.
Sure. I get that.
Very much intense.
Unbelievable.
Right?
Bluegrass legend Ralph Stanley.com.
Sure.
The one that I own.
Right.
Yeah. And keep meaning to get to that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Think Ralph is right. That's
Pablo Cruz? PabloCruz.com?
I don't own that one anymore.
Oh, you gave that back to them.
Gave that to the
But
back.
Only what's after your, a fight.
What's your point, Ralph? Why bring this up? What's the point?
Because you're insane.
Just, where are you going with this?
It's just a snapshot of madness. That's all. It's just a look inside the diseased mind.
Let's do a phone topic with our listeners, many of whom own domain names that they haven't developed. Let's find
they
out
don't have
what's
40
out
of them.
There. Let's find
have,
out.
They don't
I bet
have
we. 40 I bet there.
Them.
I bet there are a lot of people who have more
I'll
than that.
I bet there are a few people that have more than that. Yeah, but I can't imagine
squatters,
we have a lot of
internet squatters.
Yep.
No,
and then of
people,
course, shush. Another email came in from our beloved listener Lou Thomas, who was fascinated by the fact that Bean killed those roosters. Remember when he killed
those
roosters?
I did. He killed those roosters. I didn't kill any roosters. I complained to the neighbors that the roosters were loud 24 hours a day, always cock-a-doodle-dooing, and the neighbors decided the way to handle that would be with a sharp axe.
And Lou said, how can you be surprised that Bean has killed the roosters when you guys play this song all the time? I don't know if you...
Yeah, Bean killed a rooster.
Not pick up on that. It's true. We play that all the time.
Wow, we're dense.
We gotta listen to the lyrics more carefully, apparently.
That's genius.
This is very exciting news for me personally. ABC has announced they're bringing back Match Game.
Woo!
The Match Game.
Match Game.
I won some sweet-ass money on Match
Game
back in the day.
Did you as a contestant,
really?
Oh,
yeah. Oh, yeah.
Ralph was a TV contestant for a while. What is
it? I used to pad my my paltry income with a lot of game show money back in the day.
Which one is Match Game?
Match Game is you have six wildly talented celebrities, a panel of celebrities, and then the host, in my case, it was Ross Schaefer. This was post Gene Rayburn day.
Well, sure.
Ross Schaefer would come up to you and say, Ralph? On the scene of the murdered plumber, Lieutenant Columbo said, I know how this plumber was killed. He was blanked to death.
Okay.
And then it would go, boom, 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 boom. And the celebrities would write down their answer. And if you matched what the celebrities said, you would win money.
Oh, so you don't have to get the right answer. You just have to match the celebrity.
Exactly.
Okay.
Hence, Match Game.
Well, aren't they all going to try and come up with really funny things?
Yes, and you do too. So you have to try to anticipate what the celebrities are going to say. That was an actual question used on my actual episode of Match Game.
Who was the celebrity on your episode?
I'm at a loss to name them all, but I know Brad Garrett was one of them.
Oh my
Is that right?
God!
No way. Sally Struthers was another one.
Do you want to make more money?
She hit on me, by the way.
All right. Wait.
A couple other comedians and stuff and everything. I got it at home. I should pull it out.
You should pull it out.
I'll take a long, hard look at that Match Game.
All right, let's see if we can guess. What's the clue again here, Ralph?
Okay. At the scene of the murdered plumber, Lieutenant Columbo said, I know how this plumber was killed. He was blanked to death.
Boom,
boy. Boom, 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 boom.
That's a tough one.
Boom, 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 boom.
He was.
Boom, 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 boom. Everybody have their answers locked in? All right, let's go first to our first celebrity, Kevin. Kevin. This plumber was blanked to death. What was he?
Spooned. Show me spooned.
Is that a different game? That is not a match. Let's go to our next celebrity, Allie McKay. Allie McKay, this plumber was blanked to death.
He was butt cracked to death.
Jesus. Show I would have made no money cracked. With you people.
He's a plumber.
Let's go to Bean Baxter. Bean Baxter, this plumber was blanked to death.
I also do not have an answer that makes sense. The only thing I think is he was kitchen sinked to death.
All right. Show us kitchen sink.
Sorry, yeah. Plungered. Plungered was plungered. The definitive
oh,
answer.
Plungered. Oh, plungered. Sure. That makes sense. Yeah. Okay. That's a hard
we
game.
We would not be good at that game.
No, you would not.
No.
The host of the revived Match Game, Alec Baldwin.
I'm sorry?
What?
You heard me.
Really?
What? Alec Baldwin.
Of the acting Baldwins?
Of the acting Baldwins.
The one from 30 Rock?
Yes.
Same guy.
How many Alec Baldwins do you know?
Well, he doesn't seem like a game show host.
Yeah. He's a fun guy. He likes fun. He likes games. He likes stuff.
Does he like stuff?
Well, that was actually the pitch for him.
He likes stuff.
Yeah.
Huh.
Anyway, I'm very excited. Love this game. Loved being on it. Loved watching it. Love.
I feel like we should all go on it.
Well, here's the thing.
Why?
We're
we just
terrible
failed
at it.
Miserably.
You just proved
all three
that you're
of
not
us
good
failed miserably.
Right. So,
but here's the thing. Because it's Alec Baldwin, and this was the failure, I think, of Match Game post Gene Rayburn. Gene Rayburn was the guy with the real skinny mic. Remember the long, skinny mic he used to hold?
Well, that's personal.
That's Ed McMahon, first
no,
of all.
That's not. But the star power started to wane in terms of who they could book for their celebrity guests. But if
Dreamboat, very good as well.
What did they say?
Dream Lover.
Stupid.
Yeah.
That's on them.
That's how I feel.
It's on them.
Yeah. That's how I felt. I lost because of that.
Lame celebrities.
Lame. All right. Today's celebrity birthdays. Enough of my game show past.
You need to bring some of that in, by the way.
I'll pull that in. I think someone, I think I got it at home. Somewhere.
All right.
On DVD, I think. Today's celebrity birthday is Jessica Alba's 35 years old today. Penelope Cruz turns 42. Harry Shum Jr. is 34 from Glee fame. Jenna Ushkowitz, his co-star, is 30. Jay Leno's 66. Too Short is 50 years old. Violent J of the Insane Clown Posse is 44. And Jorge Garcia, one of our favorites, as Hurley on Lost. He is 43. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. That is Blink-182. How about some new music from those guys, right?
That is new music from those guys. That's Bored to Death from the new album that's coming out July 1st, Kevin. And let me just say, we had the guys in this morning in the 7 o'clock hour talking the new album, talking the tour. They were delightful, as always. And you can see the interview, not just hear it on the podcast later, but you can actually see the interview, if you'd like, on the Kevin and Bean Facebook page. We taped it this morning on Facebook Live, streamed it live, and now it is recorded, and you can check it out there. So, good stuff. It's fun having those guys in, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. Yes, it was.
Remember last week we had Dr. Jupinski on, that quitter who has killed another thing. This time it's Loveline, which will go away after just a short 30-something years here on K-Rock. And one of the greatest co-hosts in the history of Loveline is a young man named Adam Carolla, who will return tonight to sit in the chair opposite Dr. Drew and say goodbye to Loveline. And the Ace Man joins us on K-Rock right now. Hey, Adam.
Hey, man. You know, it's bittersweet, right? I mean, well, all those great years, but... got to come to an end tonight. And to me, it's I don't mind this thing coming to an end. It's more just the way it's ending, you know, all the controversy.
I was a little bit confused. I got to be honest, just as a listener and as a fan, Adam, and I don't know how much we want to go into this, but I was just surprised to hear Dr. Drew say he still wanted to do the show, yet they weren't going to do it anymore. You know, it's puzzling to me just as a fan why Loveline is going away.
I think they're treating Drew unfairly. I mean, one racially based outburst on the stage of the Laugh Factory, subsequent DUI and some domestic violence charges, and he yanked the guy off the air.
At first, I was like, holy crap.
I was like, what did I not hear about Drew?
Well, can I say this? I was there at the Laugh Factory. Much of that stuff is out of context. These are just people
right.
hobbling together something that looks bad on an iPhone.
Sure, right.
DUI, hey, okay, fine. Who hasn't had a couple of pops and driven home after a company Christmas party? And domestic violence thing. None of that stuff has been proven, and if it has, it's been going on for years.
You're horrible, Adam. Somebody listening right now is Googling all of this.
Yes, they are.
Yes, exactly. Adam, what years did you co-host Loveline with the doctor?
I was 95 to 05, and I remember, in the great wisdom of radio, when I was sitting down with the brass at K-Rock, and they said, the idea of me being able to co-host Loveline was, you know, like, you know, tapping me on the shoulder and saying, you're going to play center field for the Yankees or the Dodgers. I mean, it was crazy. I'd been listening to the show. Like, I grew up in L.A., so it wasn't, you know, I came in from Portland 8 months earlier. I'd grown up in L.A. I'd listened to Loveline since it was on once a week Sunday night. I even called in a million years ago when I was in my old apartment, like in my early 20s, just to get on the radio. So,
and not for the bumps on your penis?
No, because I didn't even have them then because I wasn't a celebrity.
All right. So it was this was a real deal, and you loved doing that show, right?
Oh, my God. I mean, I'll tell you this. I a few things. First off, funny story is when I sat down in the brass's office to talk about it, they said, look, we want you to do Loveline. We'd like you to do it as Mr. Burcham.
Is that right?
I swear to you, because everyone loved Mr. Burcham.
Yep. This was for folks who don't know, this was a character that Adam used to do the years that he worked on the Kevin and Bean Show, who was a shop teacher who said lots of, you know, as you can imagine, inappropriate things, but not something you want to sustain for 10 hours a week.
Right. So I said, how am I going to do Mr. Burcham 2 hours a night, you know, nationally, too? And I said, I'll just do it as myself. And they stopped me and they said, hold on a second, Adam. We know Burcham is funny. We don't know you're funny.
That happened? Did that happen for real?
Really, that's when I found out the wisdom of racism.
Yes.
I had to explain, I am Mr. Burchett.
Yes, and by the way, Adam, and I know you know this story, Kevin, back me up on this, didn't we hear a similar thing from somebody in management about Jimmy Kimmel, that he's a guy who's best left off the air?
Yeah,
he's a writer, not a performer?
Yep. Dead on.
Oh, listen, it was told it was told to me when they wanted me to do an afternoon show or something. It wasn't a K-Rock, I think it was at another radio station. Mm-hmm. And, of course, Jimmy had always worked so hard to get me in on everything, and I wanted to get Jimmy in on it. And they said, you want to do this afternoon show or something? And I said, yeah, me and Jimmy. I think it'd be funny if me and Jimmy. And the producer or the program director said, yeah, Jimmy's a behind-the-scenes guy. Like, he's a producer. He'll get you some coffee and punch up a script, but he's not supposed to be behind a microphone.
And now look at him. You can't even get his personal phone number anymore, Adam.
No. He stopped answering my emails many, many years ago. So,
What was it like, Adam? What was it like? I don't know if there is such thing as a peak love line period, but my guess would be it was when you guys also had the MTV show, and it seemed like every weekend you and Drew were on a plane and you were doing college campuses and playing in front of 10,000 people. I mean, was that an insane period for that show?
Yeah, there was a little, love line mania caused by MTV, because MTV was just so popular at the time. And yeah, we would go out every weekend and play these huge halls, sometimes basketball arenas with 8 or 10,000 people in them. And it never affected Drew, and I didn't know any better either. So we didn't really know what was going on. We were just kind of along for the ride. But, I would always tell people this when, they would say, do you like doing Love Line, or is this something you want to keep doing? Or I think sometimes people were worried that I was going to move on. I was doing The Man Show and Cranky Anchors and Loveline on MTV. I did everything simultaneously, and still every single night got my car at 9:32 and drove off to Culver City to do Loveline. I mean, through most of the 10 years I was there, I had four other jobs that would have paid the bills, but I loved sitting in there and talking to everyone and talking to Drew so much every night, I just kept going.
Mm-hmm. Why'd you leave the show, Adam?
The only thing what happened is I started doing mornings. And once I had to start getting up at 4:30 every morning.
Yeah, that's not sustainable.
It became practically impossible to come home at 12:30 midnight. But really, that was the only thing that ever got me to stop. Shows and everything else just worked around Loveline. I could remember a million years, a million times when Jimmy and I were doing, some bit at Griffith Park called Fantasy Porn Camp or something, and it'd be like 9:30 at night, and I'd just be running to my car, climbing over Ron Jeremy to get to Loveline.
Good times. Well, when we had Dr. Drew on last week and he announced the end of the show, which was going to be tonight on K-Rock, he said, part of it is that you couldn't get this information anywhere when Dr. Drew started on the radio. There wasn't such thing as an internet. There wasn't access for kids to get answers to questions. Now there are a lot of places to go, but that doesn't mean you guys aren't going to still be doling out the advice and doing your show, because AdamCarolla.com, you can go for the Adam and Dr. Drew show, and you guys are still doing those podcasts together multiple times a week, including phone calls, right?
Yeah, we're getting the band back together, and we're doing the same thing I did with my radio show 7 or 8 years ago, which is, like I said, for people that are not that interested or were mildly amused by me, I'll go away. But for the hardcore fans that want to keep in touch, we'll keep it going. And here's where you can find us for free.
That's great.
That's basically what I did, and that's what I'm going to continue to do.
Adam, are you going to end tonight with Mahalo?
Oh, yeah, I guess it should.
You have to.
I was sitting around last night trying to think if the opening would come back to me. Dr. Drew is a board-certified physician and addiction medicine specialist, and it just sort of popped back into my head. I hadn't said it in a decade.
But you forgot about Mahalo.
Yeah, right?
Mahalo, I'll get to at the end.
Yeah, good.
The final episode of Loveline on K-Rock airs tonight from 10 till midnight. AdamCarolla.com for all of Adam's podcasts. And don't forget, a live show coming up on May 19th at the Irvine Improv. This is going to be a lot of fun. Tickets available also through Adam's website, just $25, with special guest Chris Shiflett from Foo Fighters. That's going to be a fun night in Irvine, Adam.
Yeah, he's super funny. No.
All those guys.
But I'll give him to play the guitar.
Okay. Have fun tonight on Loveline. Give our best to the doctor. We appreciate you coming on, sir.
Hey, thanks, guys. And it couldn't have happened without you. So
let's not forget that. All right.
Thank you, Adam. All right. Hear my whole thing, Kevin. Yes. How do you not spend every minute of every day listening to Alex Jones? This is your guy.
Is this a conspiracy theorist guy?
Yes. He is a conspiracy theorist, talk show host. He's a 9/11 truther. He is ground zero for the any talk you ever want about the New World Order, about the Illuminati.
I love all of that stuff. Yes.
He was in the news, and Ali, you'll remember this. He was the guy who came out after the Boston Marathon bombings and said that the government had done that because they were looking for some excuse to take away our civil liberties. I mean, everything is a conspiracy with this guy.
Said the same thing about Sandy Hook. Like, everything.
Right. Huh. Yes, yes. The government is behind all of it. And listen to this. Here's Alex Jones's newest theory. Lemonade, the Beyonce special on HBO over the weekend.
Yes.
Funded by the CIA to start a race war. Again,
what?
Lemonade from Beyonce, funded by the CIA to start a race war. Don't believe me? Here's a clip from Alex Jones' show.
This is our latest video. Blowing stuff up, beating everything up, smashing vehicles, and it's all about men. First it's hate the cops in the last video. Now it's the ultimate feminist video being hailed. She just hates men and runs around with a crazed look on her face, attacking everything. And again, this is admitted high level. It turns out basically everything they put on the Super Bowl or out on Viacom is run by CIA propaganda because that's their domestic job.
Wait.
Beyonce invokes urban terrorism in new video.
Hold, please. So he's saying they admitted it?
Well, everybody that works for Viacom, their day job is
CIA?
CIA.
CIA.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
Wow.
Yeah.
He's spectacular.
We need more information, and we asked producer Dave, please, could you get us Mr. Alex Jones from Infowars.com, and I believe Alex Jones.
You need more information? I didn't give you enough information there?
Well, I mean, it sounded a little fantastical.
Oh, did it?
Yeah.
Except that it's true. That's the only problem, is that it's true.
You said all of it's been admitted by the higher powers.
That's right. Of course they are. They're saying it out loud because they know no one will do anything.
Right, but Beyonce doesn't work for the CIA. She doesn't work for the government.
She's ridiculous. I didn't say she works for the CIA. She was being funded by the CIA. Don't be an idiot.
Oh, I'm sorry. I apologize. I misunderstood.
Yes, you did.
So why do you think Beyonce would want to start a race war?
Because that's how they keep us distracted. That's why we're getting all the kids are getting aborted and shot up with vaccines. That's why we're not paying any attention, because we'll be fighting each other in the streets with baseball bats.
Okay. So what should we be paying attention to?
We should be paying attention to the stuff that's going on right on our noses by the government, for God's sakes.
Right, okay. I mean,
it's not a coincidence. Billy D. Williams is selling Colt 45 again, okay?
That's a government?
It's not a coincidence.
That way we all drink the ball liquor, we all get loaded, we're not paying attention to what's happening in the streets.
Okay, but that's
bananas
just an actor.
Dying, bananas are dying. You know why bananas are dying? Because they can't get the implants in through the skin without us noticing. That's why the GMOs are effective, and celery is now broadcasting our locations.
That's not true. None of that is true.
It absolutely is. When you eat a stalk of celery, that instantly becomes an antenna and tells the CIA exactly where you are at all times.
Where are you getting your information?
From the same place. Everybody's getting the information from the penguins. ISIS is now disguising themselves as penguins to work their way into our culture. If a penguin knocks on your door, you're not going to let him in? Of course you are. Boom. ISIS. Syria. Read about it.
Okay. None of that is true.
There is one part of that that is true, and that's that if it did knock on my door, I would open it.
You would open the door for a penguin.
Right? They know that. They know exactly what you want to do because they're reading your minds at all times.
Oh.
I mean, for God's sakes, Tim Allen's still on television. Is that a coincidence?
Mr. Jones, you sound so far-fetched because I feel like sometimes you're the only person saying these things. It doesn't seem like it's ever confirmed by another reliable source.
Because anyone else who says these things would be killed. That's why I hide in this bunker at all times. Okay. What?
You're in a bunker?
I got to put on my tinfoil. Hold on a second. Tinfoil hat.
Okay, good.
Tinfoil hat. Okay, I'm safe now.
What?
What does it protect you from?
The penguins!
Oh.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 9:41. Ralph is in here for the showbiz beat. Do we have time to play the new track that Blink-182 brought in today?
Sure, of course
we have time
do.
For that, Bean?
Yeah, I think so.
Built this pool, brand new, debuted this morning from Blink 182.
Good work right there.
Great tune.
That's the song of the summer, as far as I'm concerned. That's the one to beat. By the way, one more reminder, if you want to see the interview, if you didn't know, weren't with us earlier today when Blink stopped by, just go to the Kevin and Bean Facebook page. You can watch the whole thing, or just wait if you're an audio-only type of person for the Kevin and Bean podcast later on this morning. Time for one more look at the showbiz beat here on a Thursday. What's going on?
Happy Superhero Day, everybody.
It's Superhero Day.
National Superhero Day.
No kidding.
Yep. National Superhero Day.
Did not know that.
National Superhero Day.
Open up a blog.
Is it because it's Superman's birthday or something? Is there some reason why today is the day that's chosen?
Nope, not that I know of.
Right.
But it is officially National Superhero Day.
Okay.
And a website called Scout, S-K-O-U-T. It's a social networking website. They did a little survey regarding superheroes, a superhero survey. And the answers are pretty interesting.
Like who's your favorite type of thing?
What do you think? Favorite superhero of American women, according to the Scout survey. Favorite superhero, according to American women.
Superman.
Iron Man.
I'm gonna say, because he's dreamy and got those muscles, I'm going to say Thor.
Batman. Women really? Love Batman right? more than any other superhero. How about American men? Favorite superhero for American men?
Black Widow.
Because of boobs, you creepy bastard.
Right?
No, not right. That's what I'm trying to say is that right? It's not right.
Based on new information, I'm going to say it is Batman.
Nope, Superman. Men pick Superman.
Men pick Superman.
Women pick Batman.
Huh.
I wonder if women pick Batman because he's like every man and he just wants to help.
And he's dark.
Right.
And troubled.
Mm-hmm.
And they want to fix him.
Yeah.
Women just keep believing, man. This is a pretty easy one. Best superhero BFFs, best superhero friends, superhero team.
Two superheroes. Batman and Robin.
Batman and Robin. Robin. Yeah, by a long shot. 53% said Batman and Robin.
Superman and Superdog?
Nope. Next was 19% with The Thing and Human Torch. Then Green Hornet and Kato at 16%.
Kato?
Yeah.
Kato Kaelin.
In the back house?
Yeah,
Bruce Kato Kaelin.
Bruce Lee as Kato.
Oh.
Green Hornet and Kato.
You've heard of Kato, Bruce Lee's assistant, right, Allie?
Now, Bruce Lee played Kato. He was a Green Hornet's assistant.
But I have heard of his assistant.
Wonder Twins got 12% of that vote. When asked which superpower they wish they had.
Fly.
Fly.
Fly?
Fly?
Invisibility.
Immortality.
Oh. Who wants to live forever?
33% said immortality.
Really?
Then the ability to fly was 29%. Super strength was 22%, and 17% said super speed. I would love super speed. You know, you used to mock me when I would bring up the Flash years ago, saying, "You just run fast. How's that good power? Just go fast. It helps you what? Go through line of supermarket." And now,
in my defense,
the Flash.
That's true.
That's not in your defense at all. That's damning evidence.
That is what I said, though.
Best superhero vehicle, of course, another slam dunk.
Batmobile.
50%, yeah. Then coming in second was Wonder Woman's invisible plane, 20%. Must-have superhero accessory. What must you have in order to be a superhero when it comes to fashion? 19% said a cape.
Really?
Yes.
The lasso.
The lasso.
One superhero has a lasso. You really think that came in high in the survey?
She loaned it out a lot.
She didn't
to
loan it out.
People.
Mask. Mask. 57% said you've got to wear
a
mask.
Accessory.
Sure, well, it sort of is.
Yeah.
I mean, it kind of is.
Anyway,
I mean, by definition.
Here's your superhero survey for.
If you're going by definition.
If you're going by what the word means, then yes. Here's your superhero.
Superman doesn't have a mask and doesn't need one.
Right.
So there.
If he puts a mask on to be a normal guy.
Right.
If by mask you mean glasses.
Right.
So it's superhero day.
Yes, that was established about 10 minutes
that
ago.
That was early on in the segment.
Right.
I'm sorry. I'm late catching up. Is there a poll of any kind about people's favorite superheroes?
Can we play that Alice in Chains song, that new Alice in Chains song?
Oh, wait, sure.
We've been playing on the air. I love this song. It's been great.
Been a while since we played it, though.
I know.
I think.
But just, I'm just in the mood.
All right, here we go.
Happy Killer Roosters.
Very sad to hear that.
Right? Bean killed that rooster?
Yep.
Didn't kill a rooster at all.
Bean wears a t-shirt that says, your rooster's going to die.
Was Prince murdered?
No.
No.
Or was he?
Well, let's get Alex Jones back on the phone.
We need him back on for that kind of information.
Billboard.com says police officials in Minneapolis are keeping that option on the table.
Okay. Do they have, I mean, is that probably
There's
policy?
There's talk, according to this story, that he may have been killed by drug dealers who allegedly fed his opiate habit.
Ooh.
Last 2 years of Prince's life are now being carefully examined by police, and every member of his staff is being questioned. Phone records, emails, texts, and other communication in and out of Paisley Park will be under the microscope for clues, say the Minneapolis Police Department.
Let me tell you what makes me sad, Ralph, and I'm sad when anyone overdoses, if that's what ended up happening in Prince's case, is I do feel like there are a lot of times where a person like this is a star and has everybody around him in his employ and doesn't look out for the person's best interest, doesn't speak up. Where were the people around Michael Jackson, around Elvis, and around so many others who died because they didn't have anybody who was willing to shake them and get them help and make sure that they...
I think the stars get rid of those people.
Yeah,
I guess they do,
yes,
but it's just
they don't want to hear
it's
it.
It's sad. It's just sad.
It is sad.
I thought of that, too, when I was reading the story about Chyna, who passed away from the WWE, because her manager, in quotes, supposedly her friend, said, oh, this is such a drag because I was just in negotiations to book her on the TV series Intervention. And we were going to get an episode of Intervention, and we could have got her on that show, and then we could have had an intervention, and it might have saved her life. It's like,
what?
Hey, how about having an intervention that doesn't involve a television deal and just show up at her house and save her life? Why do you have to wait until you get the green light from the Intervention TV series?
Wow, right. That's...
It's tragic,
yeah,
right?
That's tragic.
Yeah, it is. It is.
It's like, it's going to be great. We're going to get her friends from the wrestling, from WWE, and everybody's going to show up, and we were really going to step in. It's like, but only if there was a paycheck connected to it? Sad. And also sad about Prince is... All this stuff is just muddying up the waters about what is a tragic passing and a brilliant artist. And there's rumors about he was sick and this and murder and drug addiction and all that stuff. And
you saw the Inquirer yesterday,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I don't even want to acknowledge it by talking about it. But
all right.
it just makes me sad when all this BS is surrounding something that I know everyone's curious, but at the end of the day, the only real fact is that he's gone. And we're all a lot poorer for it. So. Sad news. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Jorge Garcia is 43 years old today. Violent J from Insane Clown Posse is 44. Jenna Ushkowitz celebrates her birthday alongside her Glee co-star Harry Shum. He's 34. She's 30. Too short. The rapper's 50. Jay Leno, former host of The Tonight Show, 66 years old. Penelope Cruz is 42. And Jessica Alba turns 35 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning on all-new Kevin and Bean Show, we have the movie beat because it is Friday. We have our friend Chris Hardwick in to talk about his comedy special on Comedy Central.
Have you seen his billboard? It's a disturbing look.
I've not seen it, no.
Yes. It's called Fun Comfortable. That's the name of the special.
Mm-hmm.
So it's him trying to smile and laugh through just crying. Just tears. He's obviously very much in pain and upset, and he's just trying to make a fake smile, and it creates this distorted face on a giant billboard that faces me as I drive down Highland.
Do we need to have an intervention?
Yes, you do. And say, you need a new plan.
Sal Masekela will join us in studio as well. He's got a new show called Vice World of Sports, and the creators and stars of the only movie that matters, Keanu, will be on the program tomorrow, Key and Peele. Very excited about that.
Excellent. I'll be there too then.
That's tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show.